It's time for high school playoff football on WMSS and WMSSFM.com. Tonight's game is Central Dolphin versus Hempfield, the District 3 Quad A semifinals. It's brought to you by Explosive Sports Performance, also by St. Thomas Roasters, Ricker Construction, and the Colonial Lounge. Let's take it out to the game with Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser.
From Landis Field, the District 3 Quad A semifinals. Tonight, the number one seed, the Central Dolphin Rams at 11-1, host Hempfield, 10-2 out of the Lancaster Lebanon League, Section 1. Good evening, everybody. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser. Steve Leedy is also with us here tonight. Well, Mr. Kaiser, welcome back, and hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Tonight on the line here, obviously, a shot at a district championship for both of these teams. Winner of this game will get either CD East or Cumberland Valley next Saturday night. And we have a rematch from 2013.
We do indeed, and it's a game where the guys who remember that game on the Central Dolphin team should still have a bad taste in their mouth from that one. So they eat a little bit of Thanksgiving and now try to come out here and finish off with some dessert with the Black Knights, because this is a Hempfield team that 2 years ago took Central Dolphin to the woodshed and really outplayed Central Dolphin at their own game, powered through them. When you look at what Hempfield is capable of doing, you don't look at a team that right now seems like they physically would be able to do that. When you look at the size of their players, their offensive line is small as far as their numbers and their weights are concerned, but this is a team that runs the ball on everybody. It's a team that really outflanks teams as opposed to overpowers them, and it's a team with a lot of speed and two guys who run the ball extremely well. Will Blair, their senior tailback, almost 1,700 yards rushing on the season, and their quarterback Sam Kramer has run for more yards than he's passed for on the season at almost 1,200 yards rushing, over 1,000 yards passing. He's a dual threat, but more of a threat with his feet than with his arm.
Both guys come off 100-yard games last week. Blair had 220 in the win over Manheim Township. Kramer, 128 rushing, 364 rushing yards a week ago for the Hempfield Black Knights. For Central Dolphin, they played a very close game, as we expected, against Lower Dolphin last Friday night right here. They won that game 21-13, survived LD for a second straight year. Very workmanlike effort in that game. Raleigh Serb had enough yardage to do some damage, 22 carries a week ago. It's, again, another week where the Rams are getting healthier as the playoffs go on. They're playing with some momentum, a lot of confidence at the quarterback position, but their defense here tonight is what's going to be tested.
Yeah, defense has got to step up and really do what they've done all season long. And I think in many ways this is a mirror image, except the health situation, to what the Cumberland Valley game was. A team that when you look at them, they don't wow you as far. You know what they're going to do, but a team that throws the ball enough to keep you honest, but a team with a mobile quarterback. The defense has got to read their keys. They've got to do a good job of staying home. They've got to do an excellent job of really getting penetration up the middle. And those defensive tackles are going to be really important today, and being Clay Tinkham, A.J. Perezmi lines up there, Joe Williams, whoever they line up in the middle, they have got to get penetration. That's the thing that really is going to start slowing down Hempfield's attack. On the offensive side, they do what they do. Just keep running the football, control the clock, control the line of scrimmage. I think no matter what, it's going to be a close game just because of how both these teams play. But regardless of what ends up happening, this game is going to be one up front.
Hempfield has lost the last two seasons in overtime in the district playoffs, including last year, triple overtime on this field against CD East. They're here back again tonight trying to get that bad taste out of their mouth. When we come back, we'll talk to Central Dolphin head coach Glenn McNamee. That comes your way next. This is the pregame show from Landis Field, District 3 semifinals on WMSS.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com. Or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL ticket. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
down here in the locker room with Central North and head coach Glenn McNamee, assistant coach Karma, defensive backs coach. Gentlemen, congrats on getting here to the district semifinals for the second straight year. Hempfield, at this location, you guys played them a couple years ago here. You're somewhat familiar with most of the guys that are on this team. Some of the names haven't changed. Will Blair, obviously one of them that stands out from that game a couple years ago. This game tonight presents a little bit of a different challenge, though. These guys, very run-oriented. They want to throw the ball a little bit more, but you know what you're pretty much going to get with them running the football tonight.
Yeah, they're a well-coached team. Their coaching staff has done a very nice job in building that football program. As you pointed out, we have familiarity from 2 years ago, and they beat us. So that adds even a little more respect that we have for that football program. And that means you got to have a very focused week, because when you have a well-coached program, they stick to their philosophy and their systems. Add to that, they have some very dangerous people. You got your hands full.
Coach Carmel, I'll throw you right in the fire right away. David Martin last week, career night for them against Manheim Township. 7 catches, 158 yards, 2 touchdowns. Ron Zibers talked about wanting to throw the football more this season. They seem to have relied on Sam Kramer to do a little bit more. He's a 1,000 guy rushing and passing. What type of problems does he present for the D tonight?
Well, obviously, we've watched a lot of film on these guys. We know what they're capable of. We think we've got a pretty good idea of what they're going to try and run against us. Just like every other week, we're going to stop their run. I mean, we're going to focus on stopping their run, and we're going to make them do what they're uncomfortable with.
You're set. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and if that is going to the air against us, then we're going to have to deal with that. But we spent a lot of time against their passing game this week, and we think we're ready to handle it.
Your secondary, specifically David Payton's, played very well in the postseason. You shut down Eric Harris for the most part. Last week, Tommy Clock made some big throws on third down, but didn't come up with the big ones late in the game to hurt you guys. Throws a couple of interceptions. Defense forces 5 turnovers. But let's talk about David Payton real quick, because he's a guy who's played very well these 2 postseason games.
Yep, David's having a great season. When we really need someone to come up with a play, David's one of those guys that's going to come up with it. We feel really good about the 8 guys underneath us, too, helping out. We know if we drop back into coverage, we're going to get help getting to the quarterback. That's the key.
Let's talk a little bit off this game, because for the second straight year, we have 2 Central Dawson School District teams that are in the district semifinals. CD East is playing Cumberland Valley tonight. What does that mean for the school district and obviously your relationship with Coach Blanding? It seems like these 2 teams are a little closer than what they used to be in terms of, you know, it's a friendly rivalry now. But just the importance of having those two, you guys opposite of each other. Again, maybe we get a CD's final.
It's great for the school district. Coach Blanding has done a very nice job. I'm very happy for him. And I think it speaks to the the commitment, the support from the top right on down in the school district. And that's one of the many, many reasons I'm very happy to be here.
We stick with that theme because 3 of the 4 teams in the semifinals tonight are Mid-Penn Commonwealth teams. And we have not had 3 teams from the Mid-Penn in the semi since 2004 when it was McDevitt, Central Dawson, and Carlisle. What does that mean to you guys? I mean, you guys coach against these other teams all season long, and you know the coaches very well, and you know a lot of the players very well, but what does that say about the power of this conference and maybe in terms of the rivalry that we sort of have with the LL and the Burks leagues and everything in the playoffs?
Well, we always speak about the Mid-Penn Commonwealth in these interviews before the game. And
a little too much.
Yeah, I don't know if people might think it's a little too much, but what you just said, it validates why we talk so much about it and why we say we have to be ready every week and why I talk about how tough this next opponent is going to be. Some people think we might be overblowing it, but the Mid-Penn Commonwealth really is that conference. It is that league. This is just more evidence of that. And that's why each year we set out first to try to win that Mid-Penn division, because it's not easy and it is something to be proud of if you're able to do it.
That was Central Dauphin head football coach Glenn McNamee. Before our game, we're going to take a quick break for station identification here on WMSS.
The number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy with you. Kickoff now, just seconds away as we get set for the District 3 semifinals here between Hempfield and Central Dawson. The Rams decked out in their home green uniforms, white pants, green and white trim, and green and white Ram logo helmets will kick off from left to right across the radio dial. Back deep to receive for Hempfield tonight, Will Blair, who we'll talk a lot about tonight along with Brendan Flores, the other tailback in their rushing attack. Ethan Van Buskirk will kick off, as he has it situated at the 40-yard line on the far hash. And on what is a bit of an overcast night, temperatures in the mid-50s, though. It was a great day outside weather-wise. Not cold, no wind here tonight. Perfect night for football, especially in late November. This is about as good as it can get in central Pennsylvania. Van Buskirk will run up, and we are underway in the semifinals. That end-over-end kick is going to sail into Flores' arms. He comes across the 20, up to the 25, the 30, 35, and a bigger part. That's Jimmy Dyson, the wide receiver who had to return that time for Hemphill. And the Black Knights will start first and 10, attacking the end zone to our left, just outside their own 40-yard line.
Let's look at the starting lineup. Will Blair, the senior tailback, over almost 1,700 yards rushing on the season and 22 touchdowns, averages 141 yards per game. He's next to Sam Kramer, the 6'3", 205-pound quarterback. He's a senior who runs as well as passes, as we said. They'll use a lot of receivers. Dyson, who we already heard, David Martin, Ben Sod, and Andrew Green, the starting wideouts to begin this game.
Spread attack for the Black Knights. Fake to Blair. Kramer throws near side. Pass over the head of his intended receiver, Andrew Green. Mike Betts on the coverage, and that brings up second down.
Smallish offensive line for Hemphill. Ty Callahan, Nate Trimble, Kyle Smith, Avery Dombrowski, and Isaiah Johnson. Let me give you their weights. 185, 211, 213, 228, 187. Smallest offensive line weight-wise that I think we may have seen all year outside of maybe Mifflin County, and that doesn't really count.
And certainly not as big as they were 2 years ago here in the first round. Kramer in the pistol on second and 10. Well, option to Blair near side, and he is going to be met right away by A.J. Perez in the backfield and dropped for a loss all the way back to the 32-yard line.
Said in the pregame, the key is going to be penetration up the middle, because if you get penetration up the middle, that really messes up a lot of what they don't want to do, because the quarterback either has to fake that give up the middle and run himself to the outside every single time. This time they give to Blair. Tons of penetration from A.J. Perez, who's joined by Clay Tinkham up the middle. Chase Blythe, Kevin Benkovic are the defensive ends. Betts, Velicki, Thornton, and Albright, your backers. Peyton, Bergwin, and Nice in the secondary.
Shotgun for Kramer. Looks far side. Throws. Pass caught over there at the 30. And working his way upfield on that third down is Ben Sod. Well short of the first down, and that's going to bring out the punting unit for the Black Knights with 10:58 to play in the first quarter.
You know, and this is a real problem for Hemphill. They have to try to establish a running game because it's what they do best. But I think they're going to have to do this maybe a lot like what Wilson did back in week three. When you can't run the football, it's your bread and butter. You've got to change, and I think already we've seen that the Black Knights trying to adjust with what they're doing play calling wise.
Pressure up the middle as Pritchard gets it away, barely. And Mitch Nice will call for the fair catch back at his 27-yard line. That's where the Rams will put it in play, first and 10 on their first possession of the night with 10.5 minutes to go in the opening quarter.
Starting quarterback A.J. Millar, the 6'3 junior a week ago, 45 yards on the ground. Very consistent pass. Now 8 of 13, 86 yards, made some key passes on to keep drives alive. He's got Raleigh Serb in the backfield, the 5'9 senior 190-pounder, has almost 1,300 yards rushing and 17 touchdowns. Reed Albright has been a dual threat for them, as we also have Phil Petrina out at wide receiver to start this drive.
Mike Wise is in the backfield, too, on first and 10. Snap, handoff to Wise, spins away. Will Blair is there right away to hit him at the 25. And that'll be a short loss and bring up second down for the Rams.
Look for something potentially later on with that look that they just gave them. Reed Albright has been a great lead blocker for this team at fullback as well. As a guy who can catch it, he can run, he can do a little bit of everything. Mitch Nice, David Payton, normally your starting receivers. You'll also see a little bit of Roman Dickey, Ryan Elliott. Logan Gabrielson is the tight end, and you'll see Josh Fitz in double tight end sets.
Rams go with five wide in this play. They throw to Bergwin. Bergwin makes a man miss, gets up to the 30. And then it's tripped up. It's Will Blair in there again. He has been very active early on. One of the leading tacklers on this team. 67 tackles coming into tonight for this Hemphill team.
And you will see him all over the place. A very active player. This is a 3-5-3 defense, which is a really odd set. But what it does is it has only three guys up front, but it leaves those linebackers very active. And they are exactly that. They move all over the place. Tough blocking assignments today for Veronicus, Williams, Sellers, Blythe, and Childs, your starting offensive line from left to right tackle.
Two far side, one near side. Millar rolls out, pitches to Albright, and he's going to get tripped up as he gets to the 30-yard line. Looked like right away Dombrowski got in there to trip him up momentarily, and he was cleaned up after the play, and that'll bring out the punting unit on a three and out for the Rams.
It's going to be a very field position sort of game. And what we saw also last week from both these teams, they can be very opportunistic. A turnover here, a turnover there could be very instrumental in putting one team in the lead.
Tyler Jackson back deep to receive the Hanson-Rau punt. Rau, the season has gotten better as it's gone on. Heavy pressure. He gets away, a twisting high spiral that will hit at the 35, take a Rams bounce all the way back to the 25, and then it's going to be down there by Zach Wise just inside the 25 at the 24.
Well, each team has gotten their offense out of the field, and each team has experienced what the other defense does well. For Central Dauphin, that front four, actually the front eight all season long, has just shut teams down in the running game. This is a Hempfield team that on the season averages over 300 yards rushing per game, 301.2 to be exact. With Central Dauphin, one of the best teams in the state in defense, 63.5 yards per contest on the ground in a very run-oriented offense.
Pistol for Kramer on first and 10 from his own 24. Snap, fakes to Blair, throws far side. It is Jackson with the catch. Jackson sidesteps the defender and gets up across the 30, stopped at the 31. Reed Albright along with David Payton in on the stop that time.
That's the sort of thing that they're going to do, though, to get the field wide. It's going to be very important for the defensive backs of Central Dauphin. Payton, Bergwin, Nice, and even those outside linebackers, not to get sucked in on run fakes, but able to stay wide to make some tackles in the open field.
And we do not see many read option teams or teams like this style of running attack at all during the season, as Kramer will keep on second down. He gets up to the 35 and is hammered there by Albright on a gain of four, and that will...
It's good enough for first down.
Bring up enough for the first down for the Black Knights with 8:05 to play in the first quarter.
And they, because of the type of offense that they run, they will go no huddle. They'll call the plays at the line from the sideline. Everybody looks over and gets the signals from the sideline, so they're ready to go.
Two receivers each way. Shotgun for Kramer, first and 10 from his 35. Looks near side, now looks back across the middle. Pass caught far side. David Martin the catch up over the 40 and is driven out of bounds on the Hempfield sideline by David Payton. That'll bring up second down.
Lots of pressure backside, though, from Micah Parsons. Look for him to have a big game because just of the physicality he can bring against smaller offensive linemen. I almost feel like they're going to have to try to figure something else out to help on him, but maybe a quick passing game is part of what they need to do. Get the ball out quickly before he can get to the quarterback.
Two far side, one near side. Second down and three from the 42. Blair in the back, Kramer in the pistol. Snap, rolls far side, flag comes in. Kramer gets hammered by Cole Velicki on the far side. We have another flag over on the far side, so two flags here on the second down.
I think you're going to have something here at the line of scrimmage. You know, when that sort of thing happens, either you got a hold maybe on one side, you could have an illegal formation. Could be a little bit of everything, but it's going to be illegal formation is the call. I think they saw it on both sides. This is it's only a 5-yard penalty. You stop them for no gain. And I understand that second down and 8 technically is a little bit better than third down and 3. I wouldn't mind a third down and 3 here. I think the reason you do take the penalty here, though, more than anything else, is to hope that they get out of what they want to do, which is you hope they actually put the ball up and you get some pressure on Kramer.
So it brings up second and 8. Ball moved back to the 37-yard line. Two near side, two far side. Man in motion away from us is Green. They fake the handoff to him. Blair gets the handoff, and he gets rocked by A.J. Perez right in the middle. Perez stepping up to make the play.
Yeah, it just drilled right up the gut because you've got guys up the middle, 211, 213, 228, trying to block 285, an athletic 285. And A.J. Perez, what a season he's had for this team. He's just pretty much everywhere. Coming into this game with 9.5 tackles for loss in the season, he's already got 2 in the opening quarter.
6:27 to go. Fast-moving first quarter. No score here from Landis Field. District 3 semifinals. Two far side. Split backfield now with Kramer. Snap. Kramer looks. Going to take off. Pressure. He steps up. Big run for Kramer across the 40, up across the 45, and out of bounds on his own, and a first down for the Black Knights with 6:13 to go in the quarter.
I honestly think that was a busted play. He was looking to either side of him for somebody to either fake the ball to or hand the ball to. Nobody was around for him, so he just ended up taking off, and it completely caught the Rams' defense off guard. They were expecting him to have to step up in the pocket, and instead, he had run right by them.
And Will Blair, one of the catalysts for that upset here a couple years ago by Hempfield. Kramer was on a team, did not start at quarterback, was on the roster there. He rolls out near side, throws near side, pass is incomplete. Intended receiver was Jackson. Mike Betts had the coverage downfield.
Yeah, the coverage was good down the field, and that's what they're going to have to do with Kramer throwing the football. Either get the ball out very quickly or roll him away from where they think the pressure is. He felt some heat coming behind him on the play and got rid of the ball early, delivered it off the mark.
Blair in that game in 2013, 167 yards and two touchdowns in the second half. Remember, Hempfield had a 3-0 lead at halftime and then trailed 7-3 but rallied in the third quarter to win 17-7. Handoff to Blair off the right side, bounces off one tackle, and then Kovalecki fights with him across midfield and stops him just over the 50 into CD territory at the 49.
Yeah, Fife was over there too. Peyton helping out with run support. And Blair is a kid who you've got to always be around, gang tackling him once he gets his feet going. The two plays Perez stopped him, he never got forward momentum. This time he gets a little bit of forward momentum, a very strong runner. I'd venture to say he might be the strongest player pound for pound on the team.
This is what Hempfield has wanted to do. They talked about doing this, keeping the CD defense on the field. We've already seen the Rams have to rotate a handful of guys in and out on defense. Pistol for Kramer on third and six from the 49 of CD. Runs near side, goes option. Micah Parsons there to corral him and stop him. Kramer might have fought forward for a half yard, but no further, and that'll bring up third down.
Yeah, they got it. If they got anything, it was minimal, and that's because Parsons, on the potential option play, took both pitchman and quarterback, forced the play back to the inside, and had the long reach to be able to grab the legs of the quarterback and not allow him to go anywhere.
Evan Pritchard for the second time tonight will punt it away, the 6'2 sophomore. Back deep to receive is Mitch Nice, just over his 20 and his 19. It's a low snap, pressure up the middle again by Parsons, and Nice will let this one hit at the 20 field. On a one hop, and he gets rocked and a loose football. It is recovered by Hempfield inside the five, and the Black Knights will have a first and goal with 4:38 to go in the first quarter.
Huge mistake for Mitch Nice. I mean, there's no way you touch that football. He just allows that one to play him, and he knows it right now because he's got his head down there. Credit to Reed Albright going over to his teammate right away, telling him, hey, we'll get it back. But this is a very, very bad situation. The first big play of this game goes against the Rams.
Tyler Reber had the hit on Nice to force what will go in the books as a fumble. And Hempfield will have it first in goal from the Rams 2-yard line.
And I understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to save field position. The problem is you can't worry about field position if you've got somebody right in your face about to hit you when you're going to grab that football.
As we're going to get a timeout. Timeout called by Central Dauphin. We'll step aside for one as well. No score, 4:38 to go. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy with you. 4:38 to go, first quarter. Hempfield facing a first and goal from the CD2 after the Mitch Nice fumble on the punt.
And the importance, too, and this is something that won't be looked at, and you'll look at the fumble and talk about that and say it'd be the catalyst for this, but picking up a few first downs gets you field position that forces that punt to be where it ended up being in this game. I don't think we've heard the last of the importance of the punt game in this one. Hempfield very deliberate on their kicks, both field goals, extra points, and on punts. I think the Rams can maybe get one as this game goes on.
First and goal, Kramer with Blair to his right. Two far side, two near side. Snap to Kramer. Hand off Blair up the gut. Will Blair fights his way down to the one, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. 2-yard touchdown run for Will Blair with 4:32 to go. Hempfield has a 6-0 lead.
And his 23rd touchdown of the year, and it puts the Rams exactly where you don't want to be in a playoff game, fighting uphill. But on the plus side, defensively, they really had done a very good job against what Hemphill does well. The turnover, though, we see it so many times. One of the keys in any playoff game, you turn the football over, it decreases your chances to win.
Chris Cosmello, the extra point attempt for Hemphill. It's up and over end, and it is good. Our new score with 4:32 to go in the first quarter. Hemphill has a 7-0 lead. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, Steve Lee with you. 4:32 to go, first quarter, and Hempfield has a 7-0 lead after Will Blair's 23rd touchdown run of the season gives the Black Knights the lead.
All comes down to the turnover now, and now the Rams must respond on the offensive end. First time they had the football, 3-and-out. They have to establish some sort of dominance at the line of scrimmage, and that's really coming into this game. The main thing that you want to talk about is that the Rams up front look like they should be more physical and able to really drive the ball right down the throat of the Black Knights. We didn't see it on the first drive. We need to start seeing it.
Kickoff, Cosmella pooches it end over end to the far hash, taken there by Mike Wise across the 30 and up to the 35. And Mike will be stopped there at the 35-yard line. So the Rams put it in play with 4:26 to go in the first quarter.
A quick scoreboard update from District 3. Points in all the games now as Cumberland Valley is taking the lead at Chapman Field over CD East 7-0. McDevitt up 7-0 over Solanco in AAA. Also in AAA, Manheim Central on board with a field goal over Susquehanna Township 3-0. And District 3 AA championship game, Berks Catholic leads Wyomissing 7-0.
Camp Hill beat York Catholic earlier today in the single-A championship 40-28 for those a game that wasn't that close.
A fake reverse serve to carry to the 40, cuts back 45 and up to the 47-yard line for Raleigh Serbin, a first down for the Rams.
The reason those plays are effective, Eric, is because, number one, Central Dauphin tends to be a very straightforward offense for the most part. They do not run a lot of counter plays. So anytime you see something like that, you will see teams either over-adjust to it or not adjust to it enough, and that's why some of those things sometimes are open.
First and 10, Rams just outside of midfield. Josh Fitz in a tight end near side. Gabrielson is tight end far side. Millar under center, bumps into Serb. Serb will make something out of nothing, get into Hempfield territory, and pick up a couple as he is tracked down there by Dyson into the Black Knights territory with 3:50 to play.
And Blair went after the football as Serb went by. I love what they do there, and what we've seen a little bit more of that. Tighten up the splits on the offensive line, double tight end. You've got two fullbacks in the game, and it's just smash-mouth football. I think we're going to see a lot more of that here tonight.
Second down and 6 officially for the Rams as Millar has a receiver each way. Albright in the backfield with him. Man of motion away from us, Serb. Fake to Raleigh. A.J. will go up the middle, get to the 45. He's going to be pushed back there as Dizon and also Wyatt Miller, middle linebacker for the Black Knights with the stop. That'll bring up third down.
Here's that Hempfield defense with Nate Trimble, Avery Dombrowski, and Ty Callahan. They don't do a lot of tackling this, but they free some things up for the guys behind them. Outside linebackers in the 3-5, Ben Sott, Riley Knaus. You've got Will Blair, Tyler Reber, and Wyatt Miller, the leading tacklers of this team, 1-2-3. And you've got Andrew Green, David Martin, Jimmy Dyson in the secondary.
Third down and 3 for the Rams. Serb twisted around as he hits the line of scrimmage. Falls forward. He's going to be shy of the first down by about a yard. And that'll bring up fourth down and 1 with 2:39 to play. And the Rams will send out Hanson Round, the punting unit again.
Boy, really, really surprised here that they're not going for it. But it's a field position game.
Now, and we know that Glenn McAmey will trust his defense any day of the week.
Well, and I think that's part of it, too. I think he thinks his defense can get stops.
Brown gets a clean snap, pressure off the edge, and he pooches this one. Didn't quite get under, and it's going to sail out of bounds, and it's going to be marked up at the 20-yard line. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that was a pooch. That was more of a shank than anything else. I think Rao was worried a little bit, and after seeing the result of the punt, I'm sure at that point they'd like it back. The goal there was to pin Hempfield deep, back inside their own 10-yard line. Instead, ball right at the 20-yard line. Knights are not forced backwards any further. Very important drive for the Central Dolphin defense. Considering how this game is expected to be played, you must get a stop here. You cannot allow points here and go down by two scores.
First and 10 from the 24, Kramer and the Hempfield offense. Pitches far side to Blair. Blair's got a wall, ducks under a tackler, and gets up across the 25 and is stopped at the 26-yard line.
They're not going to be able to run up the middle effectively, at least not consistently. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to stretch the ball out, and you're going to see Hempfield adjust to that. And that means either on pitches, and it also means sometimes on passes to the outside, but it's got to be quick. You have to try to get the ball outside of the strength of the Central Dolphin defense.
Second down and five for the Black Knights. 1:38 to go. First quarter, Hempfield has a 7-0 lead. For Will Blair's 2-yard touchdown run a couple minutes ago. Kramer's going to have two near side, one far side. Takes the snap, rolls near side, gets behind the blocker for a moment, and then Mike Betts, along with others, there to meet him as he gets across the 25 to the 27.
Well, you got to gang tackle him. And here's the thing. Excellent runner is Kramer, but he's also 205 pounds. So he is not an easy guy to bring down. It's not like you just have to get a decent shot on him. He's just going to fall on his own. You have got to actually tackle him and physically wrestle him to the ground just because of how sturdy he is. And you showed that. Parsons got a hand on him going back towards the hole, but it wasn't until Betts was able to hit him solidly and then get a little support that they can make the stop.
A.J. Perez out of the game. Joe Williams replaces him. A.J. kind of limped off the field after that last play, so we'll check that for you. As we can, throw to the far side. Saad makes the catch. Mike Betts, a nice job that time to ride him out of bounds, shy of the first down.
Yeah, a great job by Betts recognizing that play immediately. He's playing inside technique, but beeline to the outside. It's going to force a punt. And, Eric, I really think this is a great opportunity for the Rams because this is a very deliberate punt team on the other side. They've got a real shot at potentially blocking a punt from Pritchard in this game.
It's nice to be back deep to receive. Pritchard for the third time tonight. Out. Nice at his 39. It's a good snap. Pressure up the middle again. Pritchard gets away. A high twisting spiral that will take a Hempfield roll and be down just over the 35 at the 34-yard line. And that'll do it for one quarter play. The only score in the first 12 minutes, a Will Blair 2-yard touchdown run. That's how we go to the second quarter. And we'll come back with that second quarter for you after this. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL tickets. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Rickard Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Rickard Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Rickard Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickardconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Rickard Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Alongside Steve Leedy and Brian Kaiser, Eric Thomas with you. Start of the second quarter here from Landis Field. Hempfield has a 7-0 lead over Central Dolphin as the Rams, after that punt, will have it first and 10 from their own 34-yard line. Two far side and one near side. Man in motion away from us now, serve. Snap to A.J. Millar. Rolls out far side, pumps, throws. Pass is caught up near the first down marker by a diving Ryan Elliott. And he will be just shy. They're going to give him... And the initial signal was first down, and they are going to
move it.
Move the sticks. Looked like he was about a nose shy of the first, but they gave it to him.
They gave it to him anyways, and it was excellent pass protection from the offensive line. As Hempfield, looking for a running play, did not get any penetration. Line really slid well on the rollout with Millar. No penetration. Millar able to step up and throw a low ball where nobody else could get it but his receiver, Elliott.
First and 10 from the 44. Serve in motion towards us. Snap. Hand off to Serb. Serb trying to bounce to the outside. Follow a block. Cut to the outside. Tries to cut up field now. And is going to be dragged down. Will Blair is in there for the stop on Serb. And that'll bring up second down.
Yeah, Blair was there. And the other guy who really created some problems on the play was one of the linebackers on that one. Able to come up the field and be able to get some penetration on that play. Excellent work that time from Hempfield of being able to get in the backfield.
Second down and 10, so officially no gain for Serb. Two far side, one near side. That man goes in motion away from us. It's Serb again. Millar will roll out to the far side. Throwback, pumps. He's going to have to eat it and get sacked all the way back inside the 25 and down at the 20, or rather, excuse me, inside the 35 to the 33-yard line. And A.J. is coming off the field now. He is limping.
Oh, no, he's limping. He'll fight through this. But, yeah, that wasn't good, and the play never even set up well. It's probably a good thing that he did not throw that football because Canals was all over Logan Gabrielson on the backside of that play. That would not have been a good situation if he would have thrown that football. Wise decision from the junior quarterback.
Brings up third and 21 now for the Rams at their own 33. Two far side and one near side. Millar with Albright in the backfield. High snap. A.J. will try to run up the middle, and he is going to be met as he gets to the 35 and can get no further, and the Rams punting unit will come out again.
Well, can't say that's anything more than just a give-up play and just give the ball back. Don't make a mistake on a deep ball or anything like that because you got a quarterback that just limped over to the sideline. You send him right back out and have him run up the middle. Doesn't make much sense, except we're going to put our defense back out there, try to three and out the other team, and see if we can get the ball right back.
Jackson is back deep to receive the route punt from the 36 line of scrimmage. Jackson standing at his own 30-yard line. Rao gets away, a nice high end over end, and he's going to be hit right away as Zach Wise, along with Casey Seeds, are there for the stop. Hempfield will start first and 10. From its own 29-yard line with 9:28 to play until halftime.
Great job by the Gunners because it wasn't necessarily a punt that was, it was high enough, but it didn't have tremendous hang time. So it's something that a return man is going to try to return. And both guys, both Gunners, surrounding him, not allowing Jackson anywhere to go. Great job by Blair and Seeds.
As one scoreboard update, Manheim Central has added another field goal, so 6-0 now over Susquehanna Township. The rest of the scores are the same.
You need touchdowns in playoffs. Especially they're going to find that out.
Yeah, especially against Hannah's offense. On first down, Blair the handoff, this time left side, and he will fight across the 30 and is stopped at the 32.
And not much there again, but you have to continue if you're Hempfield. This is smart play calling. You know that Central Dauphin is going to start cheating outside, so you have to continue to keep them honest by running occasionally up the middle. That's going to, hopefully for you, continue to free up some things to the outside of the field. I'd expect them to go option on this play.
A.J. Perez back in the lineup for CD, so he appears to be okay. Man in motion is Blair. Kramer will keep, and then he is going to get hammered right up the middle. It's Adam Thornton, the middle linebacker, for the stop. For Central Dauphin's defense with 8:47 to go until half.
Man, did Thornton have a game last week. Two fumble recoveries and an interception and a win against Lower Dauphin. And a guy who, you hear a lot about some of these other guys, but Thornton is a guy specifically, even was the leading tackler last week with 7 of them, a team high. But 5'10 senior always seems to be in the right place and really stepped up even further when Velicki was injured late in the year.
Rams shifted two deep safety. As Kramer will throw near side, pass intended for David Martin is incomplete. Mike Betts, the coverage at time, and that will bring out the punting unit and Pritchard again. So the Rams defense does its job with 8:20 to go until halftime.
The versatility of these Central Dauphin linebackers, when you are able to put Betts and Albright on either side, matched up one-on-one against a wide receiver, and have it not be an extreme mismatch, that's a great thing to have as a defensive coordinator.
Pressure up the middle again, and Micah Parsons is there to get a hand on it. It is going to be recovered, and it looks like Terrell Gabriel had a chance to recover it, but a Hempfield player is going to come up with this one. So Parsons got through the protection. Gabriel tried to field it. It two-hopped, and then it looks like it was recovered by Ty Callahan, and Hempfield will retain possession.
Well, I told you they were going to get one at some point, but this is two times now on punt returns where the Rams completely lost their heads. If you're not going to grab that, you have got to catch that football. and Gabriel did not. I think they're arguing right now that this possession should be because the ball never was controlled by Central Dauphin. But it was blocked and touched past the line of scrimmage. I think it's the right call from the officials.
Hempfield will have it. First and 10 from their own 35-yard line. Snap to Kramer. Looks near side. Pass is caught by Martin. He loses the ball and then recovers it right away. David Payton, a good job to wrap up and drop in that time.
I'll tell you what, David Payton's playing some great corner. And this is what we said at the beginning of the year against about David Payton outside on the corner. We said, because he's switching over full-time to that position, he's going to grow immensely as the season is going on. Man, has he played great football the last 2 weeks especially. Three interceptions in the last two games and is a shutdown corner all of a sudden.
Locked up on Martin. They've been locked up all night. David Martin coming off a career high, 7 receptions, 158 yards, and 2 touchdowns a week ago. Hand off to Blair, finds running room, gets next level into CD territory, and they drag him down across the 40. Betts and Velicki saved a bigger gain as Blair is taken down at the Rams' 38-yard line.
And Blair asking for a face mask on top of it. He's not getting it, but a 24-yard carry. And one of the issues was as he got into the second level, he had ball tackling as opposed to physical. Let's pull this guy down by his legs. Guys are ripping at the football, and that just isn't working against Will Blair.
First and 10 from the Rams' 38-yard line. Green in motion away from us. Hand off Blair. Goes up the middle again. Gets a good gain of 5 that time down across the 35 to the 34-yard line. So officially 4. That'll bring up second down.
Yeah, and the thing that continues to be impressive about this Hempfield team, they are not big up front at all. But what they do so well, and you see it in film, is how well and quickly they get out and get the angles that they need to. You almost have to really decide, I'm going to either bulldoze through these guys or you take your chances that they're going to put themselves in good spots.
Two receivers each way. Second and 6 now for Hempfield as Albright crashes down, but the pitch goes to Blair. Will Blair's got a lot of room. Will Blair down the near sideline, cuts back, is tripped up inside the 5 and taken down for first and goal for the Hempfield Black Knights with 6:22 to go in the half.
Man, Albright made a tremendous play, but anytime you run the option, you have got to have one guy on the quarterback and one guy on the pitch man. Albright took the quarterback, but nobody had Blair, and it's a first and goal.
32-yard gain for Blair. They give it to him again, and Parsons will hit him right at the line of scrimmage. Chase Flythe was the player that had the touchdown-saving tackle on the last play, and that'll bring up second and goal now for the Black Knights as we hit 6 minutes till half.
See what Central Dauphin can do here. Again, we talked especially how important it is in a game like this where it's going to be a ball control game. Important not to fall 2 scores down, but the Rams are only 2 yards away from doing that.
Second and goal for Hempfield. Back in the end zone to our right. Snap. Kramer keeps. Kramer is hit and will maybe lose a yard back to the 3-yard line. Thornton.
Velicki was there
Velicki,
first.
Yep.
Velicki absolutely read that play perfectly, filled the hole he needed to as a middle backer, and was able to drop the quarterback for a loss. And it's a lot more difficult to get into the end zone when you're down this close. That's how important that touchdown-saving tackle was from Flight, potentially, because now it's a 3rd down and goal at the 3.
And a load up of the goal line defense as they bring Joe Williams in. So it's Tinkham, Perez, and Joe Williams in the middle with Parsons and Flight on the edge on 3rd and goal from the Rams' 3-yard line.
If they want to throw, again, it's that matchup where they've got the size of David Martin at 6'4", matched up against Payton at 5'8".
Hempfield will call a timeout with 5:03 to go. We'll keep it here during the timeout. And, you know, if you're CD, this is obviously a big, big 3rd down here.
Sure.
Your offense has not done anything in this game.
But it's mistakes right now, Eric. And it's 2 glaring ones where the Mitch Nice muff of the punt, a ball that he should never have touched. And then after they get the block punt, it was Terrell Gabriel wanting to make a big play, and he drops the football in a situation where he didn't have to touch the football. Now, Gabriel had a big amount of room. You would probably trust him to run the football, but you got to watch the ball in your hands. And when he doesn't come up with a football, that's a missed opportunity, and Hempfield has immediately turned it into a scoring opportunity. If nothing else, Hempfield should leave this with 3 points. and they should be able to take a two-score lead. That's how important those two plays are. Special teams in playoff games become so important, and so far, the special teams' edge, unfortunately for Central Dauphin, on big plays, has gone the other way.
Got to mention, too, Chris Cosmella, 4 of 8 on field goals this season. Doesn't have length from 42, distance from 42, but he's had an up-and-down season. He's missed 7 extra points. He's also missed the 4 field goals, as we mentioned.
He's not automatic.
Right. This is a big third down. We got to get through third down here before we even think about that. So, Enfield has 3rd and goal from the Rams' 3-yard line. Blair in the backfield, Kramer in the pistol. He's got 3 far side, 1 near side. Snap. Kramer looks, takes off up the middle. Sam Kramer is into the end zone for the touchdown.
Just going to say, this is a great quarterback drawdown, and it's exactly what they did.
3-yard touchdown run with 4:59 to play until halftime, and Hempfield has extended to a 2-score lead. It's 13-0.
You got a mobile quarterback. You got a big quarterback. He's got 13 touchdowns on the year, and you've got a team that rushes the quarterback from the outsides very well. What that does is allows your offensive line just to clear everybody out on the inside. Your inside backers have to read it. They didn't, and Kramer scores.
Jackson a hold for Cosmella. High snap. Gets the extra point away. End over end. It is up, and it is good. Our new score with 4:59 to play until halftime. Hempfield has a 14-0 lead. Biggest deficit the Rams have faced all season. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Steve Leedy, and Brian Kaiser with you. 4:59 to play until halftime. And after Sam Kramer's 3-yard touchdown run, Hempfield has a 14-0 lead.
That drive, 7 plays, 65 yards, 3 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock. Will Blair, really the guy who was a catalyst of a couple of those, a 24 and a 32-yard run. He's now got 10 carries for 67 yards in the game.
Smells kick in the arms of Mike Bergwin at the 15, now the 20. Mike Bergwin to the outside. He's tripped up across the 25 and has stopped there at the 26-yard line where the Rams put it in play with 4:52 to play until halftime. Biggest deficit of the season for Central Dauphin. They have not trailed. How many times have we said they've trailed this season? 2?
Yeah, it hasn't been very often.
And one of them is at the end of the game against Cumberland Valley.
They haven't been behind. It doesn't mean they're not capable of coming from behind in a game, though, and that's the thing. You're at home. What's one of the advantages of being the number one seed? You're going to play all your games here until you lose. But right now, they have to get back to what they do well.
And off on first down to serve. He is going to be wrapped up and dropped across the 30-yard line at the 32, number of second down.
That's the corner who actually was inside Andrew Green. And when they go with that power set where you have double tight ends, 2 fullbacks in the game, everyone with closed splits, and that means your outside guys for containment are those corners who are in on run support. If you can get past them, you got a big opportunity. Unfortunately for Serbi, couldn't clear that one, but a good gain on first down nonetheless.
Second and 5 from the 32. Mitch Nice, slot far side, 2 receivers now. Snap, Millar looks, throws that way. Pass is incomplete, intended for Ryan Elliott. And it one hopped into Elliott's arms. That'll bring up 3rd and 5.
And there's no pressure on AJ at all on that play. He throws the ball to the outside, and it's low. And we've seen already in this game, the earlier pass he threw to Elliott was low. Elliott made a good catch on it, but there's no duress on him. He has got to be more accurate when his team needs him now. And this is a time when his team needs him to make plays with his arm, not just his foot.
Nice will line up near side. Far side, it's Bergwin and Elliott. All right, the back. Man in motion towards us, Bergwin. Snap. AJ will look to throw. Has to throw off his back foot. Pass is dropped by Logan Gabrielson, who had the inside position on Canals and just could not hang on to it.
Well, AJ made the play that time, but you have to have somebody make the catch. And Logan Gabrielson, who's been really the guy that they've looked to more than anything else in key situations this year, but no catches in the last 2 games, and had one right in his hands that he had a first down and dropped it.
Hanson Rao out to punt with 4:07 to go in the half. Rams offense tonight just seems to be
stagnant.
Yep, stuck in neutral right now.
Well, when you have to try to throw the football because you're not getting big gains on first down, you got to pick your poison, and they have not been able to get comfortable yet.
Rao gets away, a high twisting spiral. Jackson, the return man, will let that one hit, and it will take a CD roll, and Casey Seeds will be down there to down it inside the 25 to 24. So Hempfield takes over again with 3:55 to play in the first half, already up two scores.
Scoreboard update, Cumberland Valley has kicked a field goal. It's 10-0, Cumberland Valley over CD East. AAA, McDevitt leads Solanco 14-0, but Solanco threatening there. Manheim Central leads Susquehanna Township still 6-0, but there was just a turnover there by Susquehanna Township, and Manheim Central is in the red zone. Berks Catholic leads Wyomissing 14-0 in the AA game.
Here we have 14-0 Hempfield, and they have it now with two receivers each way. Kramer looks to throw, uncorks it near sideline, intended for David Martin, and it's David Payton with the coverage again, and that'll bring up second down.
Boy, I just hate that play call. I understand that you're trying to maybe loosen things up a little bit, but this isn't the time for that. I mean, the last thing you want to do here is three and out, give the ball right back to Central Dauphin. So on first down, you're taking a speculative toss down the field, hoping that you can lob the ball up. Not a very good play, and I think a bad play call.
Two receivers each way again. Snap, they run option. Kramer will keep, spun around, cuts back. Micah and everybody else there to drop him back across the 15.
Yeah, Parsons just completely obliterated that play from the get-go. Did not allow a clean pitch opportunity, and that meant that Kramer had to hold on to the football. And against a lot of teams, you can spin back the other way and maybe outrun them. Not against this Rams defense. Too fast for that. Look for another lob coming up or a safe play call for Hempfield here on third down. But they hurt themselves on the first down play call, put themselves in something where they have really dug themselves quite a bit of a hole and a real chance for the CD defense to get it right back.
Rams go two deep safety again. They drop Payton back alongside Nice, try to keep everything in front of him here. So that means Betts will be lined up on Martin at the corner spot. And a whistle before the play.
We got a timeout.
Yep. Hempfield. Timeout. Called by Hempfield. We'll step aside and take one as well. 3 minutes straight up to go in the half. Hempfield leads CD 14-0. This is the district semifinals in WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. 3 minutes to go until halftime. Hempfield facing a 3rd and 20 out of the timeout, and they have it on their own 14-yard line.
I would expect this to be a very safe play. That being said, once they see Betts lined up one-on-one against Martin on the outside, they may try that lob once again.
Slot man over here, not covered. Now they're going to shift around. Payton's going to move back to the corner spot. They will throw near side. Pass is caught out of the backfield by Blair. Will Blair will get across the 25, and he stopped there as Betts on with Velicki there for the stop.
Very safe play. What it does, I think more importantly for Hempfield, is it allows them to run some more time off the clock, which I think all they really want to do here. Just run some clock, and when Central Dauphin gets this ball back, and David Payton will be the return man this time for Central Dauphin.
Yeah, he, along with Mike Bergwin, started the season. They went back to Mitch Nice when Mitch got healthy a couple of games ago. Rams have had pressure on the punts just about all night long. They come again, and Micah Parsons just misses that one. Payton runs under to field it at his 37. Tries to make something out of nothing, gets across the 40, and is stopped at the 42-yard line. That's where the Rams start, 1st and 10, with 2:12 to go and two timeouts in their pocket.
Yeah, they had a real shot at that one, and no one's touching Micah because what he's doing is he's lining right off the center. And that left guard really should be coming down as soon as that ball snapped and getting a piece of him. But nobody's doing that. That leaves the three guys behind them to try to pick him up. One guy got a piece of him, but they were forced not to get that one blocked, too.
See what the Rams draw up here. First and 10 from their own 42. Serb will be near side. Nice far side. A.J. will send Serb in motion away from us. Snap, fake. Millar goes up the middle. Millar trying to bounce to the outside. Into Hemphill territory, 45, and he's dragged down by Miller across the 45 and down to the 40-yard line.
Yeah, Miller runs him down, but great job by A.J. of his balance. Gets to the outside only because as he stutters, he was able to maintain his balance. Looked like he might even go down. 18 yards later, he's got this drive already started into Hempfield territory.
2:05 to play as the Rams save the timeout with Millar going out of bounds. So from the Hempfield 40, a first and 10 for CD as they send Reed Albright in motion away from us. Snap, fake to Serb. Millar uncorks it downfield. Running under it is nice. And it's knocked away. Dyson had the coverage that time for the Black Knights.
They just don't have anybody on the roster who can run that route. And AJ's got a lead nice. Mitch is about as close as you get, as he had a big one like that last week against Lowered Often. But if that ball hangs, you don't have anybody who's going to contest that one. And it was a little bit more of a trickery. They were more surprised last week when they ran it. This time, Dyson was with him just on his hip pocket and was able to come back and make the play.
Serving motion away from us. Second and 10. Millar rolls out to the far side. Waits. The junior quarterback waits, looking for anybody. Now he's going to have to just take it out of bounds. Couldn't get rid of it and takes a big loss back across to the 45-yard line.
And he's got to make a better decision that time. I mean, he doesn't throw the ball down the field because there's good coverage down the field. But at some point, you just have to get rid of the ball. And he ends up taking a 6-yard loss and a drive that was so promising at first, now not looking so good.
He's up third and 16.
And they don't have one of these plays. This is where Reed Albright becomes a real factor in the passing game, but you've got to get him out there. The other thing is Gabrielson down the seam has been one of those plays that they like to use in these third and long, and nobody's on him on that right side.
Too near side. They fake. Pressure coming, and AJ's down back into CD territory. As Nate Trimble is in there for the big sack. Two big stops by the Hempfield defense on that drive.
A horrible blocking from up front from Central Dauphin. As they sent a lot of pressure, and they needed to. AJ's looking left. There's nothing there initially. That's because they know where the pressure's coming from. If they can somehow hold it up, he might be able to look the other way where there were wide open receivers. He's got to read where the blitz came from. He didn't read it, and as a result, the sack, and they're going to have to punt it away.
Out of punt again. Jackson back deep to receive, standing at his 15-yard line. Punt comes from right to left across your radio dial as Rao waits. Good snap. Gets away. Again, another shank. Hanson Rao is feeling the pressure as it comes up the middle. He is not having a good night.
No.
And that one sails out of bounds at the 38. I believe they're going to mark it 38, 39-yard line.
Let's just say that the next minute, two. As long as Central Dauphin doesn't give up any points in the next minute, too, they're going to be very, very satisfied at this point to get in the locker room and just have to completely regroup, because whatever they've attempted to do offensively on special teams in this first half has not worked and has been a detriment to their chances of advancing.
Halftime today, we'll run down the scoreboard. Steve Leto have stats for you. As we are a minute two away from that, Hempfield's going to look for more here. They have no timeouts, but I beg your pardon, one timeout remaining as Blair will get the carry on first down, and he will carry the pile across the 45 to the 46.
Yeah, but there's no reason for them to really take a shot right now down the field. I know you want to kick somebody when they're down and really try to slam the door, but that's a dangerous thing to do with the speed off the edge for Central Dauphin. So I don't necessarily see them until at least maybe the very, very final play or so, them taking much of a shot down the field. They want to try to slowly get it down the field.
Matchup we watched all night, Peyton and Martin near side. Single coverage for Peyton as Blair gets the carry, and he spins across line of scrimmage up to the 50, and he's just barely into CD territory with 18 seconds left. And I think you're right. I think Hempfield is just content to take the 14-0 lead. You really can't get greedy at that point and force something.
Well, you can, and they may call a timeout, or will they call a timeout? Nope. I mean, you'd have a chance to maybe call a timeout here and throw a Hail Mary, but right now, everything's gone right for Hempfield. And on the road, they've got the 14-0 lead at the half.
Sure do. 24 minutes in the books. When we come back, the halftime show here from Landis Field. Hempfield has a 14-0 lead. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL ticket. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
Halftime here at Landis Field. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy with you as Hempfield has a 14-0 lead on the number one seed, Central Dauphin Rams, here with a trip to Hershey Park Stadium next Saturday night on the line.
And two big plays in the game. I mean, honestly, the first half really boils down to two big plays, and both of them in the same area, punt returns. And for Hempfield, they've been susceptible to blocks, but in the first instance, Hempfield got a few first downs, got the ball into Central Dauphin territory. Their drive was stopped. They punt the ball to Central Dauphin. Ball takes a hop. Mitch Nice decides that he's going to try to save some field position, but he hasn't called fair catch. He's got guys bearing down on him. Tries to catch the football. Drilled by Wyatt Miller just as he does that. Ball pops up in the air. Floats down towards the goal line. And is recovered by Hempfield on the two-yard line. One play later, it's 14-0 Hempfield after a two-yard touchdown by Will Blair. And then after that, both teams not able to do much offensively. Hempfield has to punt the ball in their own territory. And Central Dauphin gets great pressure, gets a block. Block goes across the line of scrimmage about 5 yards, and Terrell Gabriel, trying to make a play, comes up, cannot catch the ball cleanly. The ball ricochets back, recovered by Hempfield 5 yards away from that, and as soon as that happened, Will Blair pops off a 24-yard and a 32-yard run shortly after that, and a few plays after that. Kramer's in the end zone from 3 yards out on a quarterback draw on third down and goal from the three to give Hempfield this 14-0 lead. That's been the storyline in the first half. But I think the biggest storyline in the first half, Eric, is the thing that all season that was the question mark about the Rams. If they weren't unable to run the football effectively in a game, can they throw the ball? And the answer so far in the first half has been a resounding no. They have not gotten the job done through the air. They're not getting open. And A.J. Millar is really questioning himself, I think, a lot in terms of where he's trying to throw the football down the field. And he's been sacked as a result several times in this first half.
As bad as the first half could have gone for Central Dauphin, we have not seen them face this type of adversity. They were in tight games early on in the season with Susquehanna Township late in that game, and then obviously the Wilson game a week later. But they have not really faced or not really been up against it and then until Cumberland Valley, but it's been pretty easy all season, and I think they're kind of finding out that life is not all that easy when you get to the playoffs.
Well, when you're the number one seed, and also when the 2, 3, and 4 have been knocked out, all of a sudden not only is the bullseye on you, but the bullseye, the X, and every other, the spotlight, everything is on you at this point, and everyone's coming to gun for you. And this is a Hempfield team that has come in, no fear whatsoever, still some positive mojo from a couple of years ago, and they've come in with a great game plan. And now Central Dauphin must adjust. And if you are going to win a district title, we say it every year. You know, it's so difficult to win district titles and state titles, and the reason is because you have to put great game after great game after great game. And nobody plays great game after great game after great game. Some week, you are going to not play your best. I think right now we're seeing Central Dauphin not playing their best here in this first half. They've got to put that behind and now come out in the second half and play what I think has to be their best half of the season. They have got to come out on all facets. I think it starts on this first drive because they're going to get the football to start the second half. I think you got to come down the field and immediately put your stamp on this game.
Also, probably you have to keep your offense on the field for a good chunk of that quarter just to keep your defense off of it. I know they got a break there, but their defense has been on the field. We're seeing a lot of substitution in and out, more so than we normally see in a first half for the Rams.
What it comes down to, what it comes down to, Eric, is this. If you sustain drives, if you're able to score points, your defense isn't going to have to worry about being on the field as much. I don't think this Hempfield team is going to be able to effectively run a very conservative offense in the second half. I don't think they can just hand the ball to Blair and have Kramer run the ball, and then on the third down and long, they throw the ball for first down. I don't think that's what they're going to be able to do. I think the Rams in the second half, if Hempfield comes out and is predictable or gets more conservative, which is what a lot of coaches will do with a 14-0 lead, I think that actually plays into the hands. I think right now Coach Ron Zieber for Hempfield and his staff, one of the things they need to be talking about over there at halftime is staying the course of what they've decided to do. I don't think they can come out of here in the second half just try to run, because I think that just feeds right into what Central Dauphin is going to look for them to do defensively. They've got to stay willing to throw the football to the outsides, try to get the ball wide, open things up on the inside for Blair when he gets those running opportunities. He hasn't had much. It was just the one drive where he barreled ahead for two huge gains, and that's been enough to give them the cushion that they have right now. Bottom line, it comes down to Central Dauphin offensively. Can they, one, run the football effectively and sustain some drives? And number two, can they get what they need to out of the passing game? It doesn't have to be great. It just has to be enough to complement what they're able to do on the running game. If they do that in the second half, they have every opportunity to come back in this game.
If the Rams were to overcome their largest deficit of the season and get to next Saturday night's district final at Hershey Park Stadium, it would be opposite either Cumberland Valley or Central Dauphin East. And we will bring you that game next Saturday night if CD stays alive from Hershey Park Stadium for the second year in a row. The Rams trying to get to the district finals. And, you know, the other thing about this Hempfield team that we have not mentioned yet, you're talking about a team, yeah, a couple of those guys played in that game here 2 years ago. 26 seniors are on that roster. If you want to talk about a nightmare matchup, an experienced team, a veteran team, that's going up against a CD team that, yeah, is veteran in their own right, but one of those style of teams that you really don't want to meet. They're hungry. They've been knocked out of the playoffs in overtime the last 2 years, including here last year in triple overtime to East. You know, they want to get all that out of their system, and they've gone with the motto, finish all year, and now they're 24 minutes away from doing just that.
I think it's real easy, too, if you look at what they've done over the season. They take a look. Hey, Manheim Township scored points. Yeah, Manheim Township, both times they played, scored 28 points on them. But the defense that they play with the athleticism that they show is a very difficult one for teams to adjust. 3-5-3 is a very odd sort of system. Your offensive linemen are looking for somebody to block, and a lot of times they're not there because you've got the three guys up front, but those linebackers are moving all over the place. And sometimes you'll have a guy coming off the edge. Sometimes you'll have two guys shooting the same gap. It gives a lot of flexibility. It's a very difficult offense. It's very difficult defense for a team to adjust to, and we're seeing that in the first half. I've seen offensive linemen in this first half blocking air because they're looking for somebody to beat it, and they're not there. So in the second half, I mean, it goes back to the preparation, trusting your keys, trusting what you're doing out there, and they've got to come out in the second half and play their best half of the season.
Let's take a look now at the first half stats. Steve Leedy's got the stats and also tonight's scoreboard. Plenty of action across District 3, including one final already. We've already crowned a champion in single A. We take a look at tonight's stats.
We crowned that champion basically.
Pretty much in like week three, I think, of the season.
Three, pretty much, yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. First, we'll look at Central Dauphin rushing the football. Riley Serb has 5 carries, 25 yards. A.J. Millar, 3 keepers for 23. That doesn't count the sacks. Mike Wise, 1 for minus 1. Receiving, Ryan Elliott, 1 catch for 10 yards. Bergwin caught 1 for 4. Albright, 1 for 1. A.J. Millar, just 3 of 6 for 15 yards in the first half. Team totals for CD, 9 rushing attempts for 47 yards, 15 through the air, 3 sacks for Hempfield for a loss of 24 yards, so just 38 yards of offense for CD in the first half.
And also a total of 18 plays in the first half. And for Central Dauphin, when they have their offense going, they cannot run the ball just 9 times in a half and get things going. It just isn't going to work.
CD has had 5 drives in this game. 2 of them, 3 and out. The other 3, first down on the first play that went for either 10 or 13 or 18 yards, and then a 3 and out after that. That's all that Central Dauphin has been able to do here this evening. For Hempfield, Will Blair, 12 carries, 75 yards. The bulk of them came on the 2 long runs that led to the touchdown. Kramer, 8 keepers for 10 yards. Receiving, David Martin, 2 for 10. Ben Saad, 2 for 10. Tyler Jackson and Will Blair, each 1 for 7. Kramer passing is 6 of 10 for 34 yards. Team totals for Hempfield, 20 carries, 85 yards on the ground, 34 through the air, 119 yards of total offense for Hempfield. And, of course, both touchdowns, the Blair 2-yard run and the Kramer 3-yard run, both set up by the 2 turnovers in the game that CD has.
And if you look, too, number of plays for Hempfield, they've run 30 plays compared to 18. They've been able to get their running game to at least have the carries that they want them to so far. And the passing games have been very comparable if you look at least numbers. But what they have not been is the passing game for Hempfield has been a good complement to what they're doing. Central Dauphin's passing game right now has not done anything to assist them. In fact, I would say more it's been a detriment because of the sacks.
Minus 9 yards passing, you would say, because they lost 24 on sacks and they have 15 passing yards.
This is very comparable. I think, Steve, you'd agree with this. Very comparable to that district final a year ago. They had to try to string together offense against Wilson. They could do nothing on the ground. And then they had to string together a couple passing plays. They got back in the game with A.J. Millar and David Payton hooking up, but very similar style of game in terms of the ineptness of the CD offense in the first half.
Yeah, but I think both of these teams have been inept on offense. Hempfield just had that one drive. It comes down to the 2 turnovers in this game. The 1 touchdown is a gift. He gave it to him at the 2. And the other one, it's just 2 plays that basically set that up. And Hempfield only has 4 first downs in the first half. CD has 3.
Yeah, and the other thing too, Eric, I think the big difference is in that game, every single time Central Dauphin tried to run the football, there was absolutely nowhere to go. I think there's openings. You just have to have more plays. And Serb with 5 carries in the first half, and that's not because he hasn't gotten the ball. It's that they haven't had the ball. So in the second half, I think one of the things we may see a little bit more of in the second half. Hold on a second. I'm going to kill this fly that's over top of your head because, yeah, he needs to die. Okay, so the fly's dead, and hopefully that changes things because he's been annoying me in the first half, and maybe that changes the mojo up here a little bit. But as far as...
I thought he was going to hit me, actually.
No, I wasn't going to do that. I mean, technically the coaches are on the other side, but they're still downstairs, so they don't think I'm attacking them either. That's good. What they need to do a little bit more of in the second half: tight splits, double tight end, 2 fullbacks, and just pound the football. And a guy that, if he's healthy enough to do it, give A.J. Perez some run at running back too. Have him run over some guys because there's nobody on the other side who can match up with him coming directly at them.
I'm going to be curious to see one thing in the second half, and that is how much they divert from what they might have in the playbook. You know, last week we saw them try to get Micah Parsons involved in offense, throwing the ball downfield to him. Are they going to change anything? That shows to me a little bit of desperation. This is still a game where I think they can stick with what got them here and still come back and win this football game.
I think the first play from scrimmage concerned me right away because they had Phil Petrina out on the outside at flanker, obviously showing at some point, you know what, let's see how they react to having and see if they even recognize Petrina out here. We may still see that at some point, but that immediately tells me right there, hey, we're trying to do something sneaky here. Come out and play your game. And I think in the first half, we didn't see enough of that. I think we need to see this in the second half. You have a team on the other side that is not big, and you're playing into their hands with wide runs, allowing their speed to come into play. Power the football at the smaller team. Sometimes it comes down, and it's that easy. I still remember back 1995, I believe it was. Was it North Hill or Penn Hill against Lower Dauphin in the championship
Penn
game?
Hills.
Yeah, Penn Hills. Team with LeVar Arrington. And in the first half, they were getting cute with Lower Dauphin, and Lower Dauphin was getting cute with them. It was 14-0 at halftime, and Lower Dauphin, I mean, played their butts off in the first half and were able to steal a couple things on trick play. Second half, Penn Hills came out and said, okay, enough of this. We're putting 10 guys at the line of scrimmage, and they're all blocking for the guy behind them. Run. Bang. And they just stomped all over them in the second half. That's what the Rams need to do here, I think, in the second half. You're the bigger team. Make the smaller team react to what you do well. I don't think they did that in the first half, and I think they need to change that to change the momentum.
If memory serves me correct, the last time they faced a two-touchdown deficit was CD East in, not last year, but 2 years ago at the end of the regular season. So it's been a while since they've been down by two scores.
But
they throw that Wilson game out because they made a game of it in the second half.
There's nothing stopping them, though, in this game from reasserting control. And it all starts on this first drive. What they do on this first drive, I think, is going to be extremely important to me as far as where this game's going to go. If they come out and play Central Dauphin football and do what they do well and use the power and go down the field, they'll be fine. And I think they'll have every chance to come from behind. If they come out and get cute and think that they all of a sudden are a passing team, then they're in all sorts of trouble, and it's probably not going to go well.
About 2 minutes before we start the second half, while we have a chance, we'll step aside and take a timeout. 14-0 Hempfield leads. We'll come back with kickoff of the second half here from Landis Field. This is the district semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL tickets. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Rickard Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Rickard Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Rickard Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickardconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Rickard Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Number one station for high school sports coverage in Central PA is WMSS Middletown, Super 91.
Welcome back to Landis Field, Speed Ebersol Stadium. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. We start the second half in the District 3 semifinals, the Quad A bracket, as Hempfield will kick off to Central Dauphin to begin the final 24 minutes of play. Reminder that the winner of this game, we'll move on to Saturday's championship game next week, Hershey Park Stadium, 6 o'clock kickoff against either Central Dauphin East or Cumberland Valley.
Let's look at the other scores in District 3. In that other game, CD East scores a touchdown very late in the second quarter. They pulled within 10-7 at halftime. Cumberland Valley still with the lead. Bishop McDevitt leads Solanco 21-7 at the half. Manheim Central leads Susquehanna Township 13-0 in the waning seconds of the second quarter, but Township is at the 10-yard line, so they're looking to get on the board before halftime. And Berks Catholic leads Wyomissing 14-6. That also late in the second.
And if there's need, we'll look at other scores from other districts after tonight's game. That requires a comeback from the Rams to really worry about it on our end.
Peyton and Bergwin back deep to receive. Cosmella's kickoff will fall into Adam Thornton's arms. David Peyton will pick it up, and he will get corralled right away as Reber is in there for the stop, and the Rams will start first and 10 deep in their own territory to begin the third quarter.
Yeah, let's see how they come out here in the second half. It's got to be a steady dose of Raleigh Serb, and I like one thing I'm seeing already, and that is I'm seeing Fitz, the second tight end. I'm seeing A.J. Perez. I'm seeing a lot of beef going in the game. And I think this is exactly the adjustment that Central Dauphin needs to do in the second half. Go at this team. They're fast, so take away that speed advantage. Gash directly at them.
Did not see A.J. Perez. I don't think we saw him at all in the first half on offense. Maybe a play, but they will line up in power with Millar under center on first down. The handoff that time going to Albright, and he will pick up a couple, and that will bring up second down.
Brian, you were talking about that Penn Hills team. That's exactly how Penn Hills used to run. They
ran
that very tight power eye.
And that's you can't get away from that necessarily either, even though they're going to bring A.J. and Terrell out right now. I still think you have to continue powering the ball at this team and just go at them.
Serb and Albright in the backfield. Millar's under center. He will fake to Serb, look near side, throw out into the flat for the tight end, Gabrielson, and it's over his head and incomplete, third down.
And that's not them. I'm sorry, that's not them. I know it was a play that was open, but right now A.J.'s not on the mark. I mean, he was not accurate in that first half, and that time he had Gabrielson open, and he led them too much. You basically took a play on first down. You said, hey, let's go right at them. And as soon as that one didn't break a big gain, you lost your patience and immediately went to the air.
11-16 to go, third quarter. We're just underway here as the Rams have a third and 8 in front of them right now. Two near side, one far side. Albright in the backfield with Millar. Snap to Millar. Looks, heavy pressure, throws off his back foot. Pass incomplete as Ryan Elliott tried to make a diving attempt at it again. And to start the third quarter, the Rams will go three and out with 11-12 to play in the quarter.
Not what I wanted to see. And it's A.J. getting pressure from Will Blair, throwing off the back foot as a result, doesn't step into the throw, and Ryan Elliott makes a great diving effort, couldn't make the catch.
That drive, to me, is almost like taking yourself out of the game.
That's what I've seen.
Yep.
And that's what I've seen so far. And really, you've got to play to your strength, and they haven't done that today, offensively.
Trying to do too much when Basic would pretty much work. It's a high snap to Rao. He gets away. A high twisting spiral that Jackson will let hit. Takes a big CD roll as Wise is down there to down it at the 25-yard line.
Let's hope that that's the catalyst that they need, because Ralph does a great job of getting them out of some danger of the 47-yard punt. Or check that. That's actually bigger than 47. It's a 53-yard punt from Ralph. So an outstanding job from Ralph to change and flip the field possession. And now it's not like Hemfield's offense has set the world on fire, so can the CD defense get a key play?
That might be what is needed, as Hemfield will start first and 10 from its own 25. Back split with Kramer to far side. He snapped the ball to Kramer. Lost the football, and Reed Albright is right there to recover it.
There it was. And that's a quarterback faking the ball and deciding last minute when he sees Micah Parsons charging off the edge to go chase his running back down. Hey, I'll keep it myself. And the running back held on to the football. Neither one of them able to control it, and Reed Albright is exactly where he needs to be. The break the Rams need right there.
Big time field position flip. You mentioned it on the punt, BK. Now it's first and 10 for the Rams at the Hemfield 24-yard line.
Second fumble recovery of the year for Reed Albright, who whenever they need a big play, he seems to be somewhere in the area.
Two near side, one far side. Now Serb in motion towards us. First and 10, handoff Serb. Trying to follow the block. Cuts upfield, rolling to the outside, the 15. And then jogs out of bounds on his own at the 15-yard line.
Great lead block, too, from Reed Albright. And I got to watch the tape again this week of the Central Dauphin Lower Dauphin game, and it seemed like on big plays going to the outside especially, Reed Albright was a tremendous lead blocker, and there gets a huge block on Canals and kicks him to the outside.
First and 10 from the Hempfield 14-yard line. Man is Frank, far side along with Mike Wise. Now Wise in motion towards us. A.J. goes hard count. Wise gets set in the backfield to his right. Hand off to Wise. Wise following Albright's block. Bounces to the outside. He is upended by David Martin on a great tackle by Martin.
It's a great tackle, yep. But it's excellent job. Smash mouth football.
Yep.
And this is what is necessary at this point. Gashing the left side. And where they were very successful a week ago, going to that left. Behind Steven Veronicus over there at left tackle. And also Joe Williams over there at left guard. Clearing the way on that side of the ball.
Going to go power with Albright, Gabriel, and Perez on second and 5 from the Hempfield 8-yard line. Millar's under center. The handoff to A.J. A.J. hurdles the pile. Perez twisting inside the 5. And he's down for a big first and goal for the Rams with 10:09 to play in the quarter.
And just slamming the ball right down the throat of the Black Knights. Notice how the momentum on that fumble, for the first time this game, something for this Rams team to really rally behind, and they have immediately sensed that and have taken it to the 1.
Line up in power again. Albright, Gabriel, and Perez. Millar under center. First and goal from the Hempfield 1. A.J. hands off to A.J. Perez dives, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. 1-yard touchdown run for big A.J. Perez on the season, his 11th touchdown. And we got a new ball game with 9:51 to go in the third quarter.
And his 6th touchdown of the playoffs so far. A.J. Perez, 285 pounds of locomotive going right down the teeth of the Black Knight defense. And then we got a ball game all of a sudden. And all of a sudden the home crowd and the home team is energized.
Matt Bonish to snap. Phil Petrina to hold. And Hanson Rowe to kick into the uprights to our right. It is down, it is up, and it is good. Our new score with 9:51 to play in the third quarter. Central Dauphin responds to the turnover, and the Rams punch it in. 14-7, Hempfield leads it. This is the district semifinals on WMSS.
Explosive sports performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive sports performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. 9:51 to go, third quarter. And our new score, the Central Dauphin Rams, trailing 14-7, but a lot of momentum now on the home side after that turnover and touchdown.
Turnover gives them a short field, 4 plays, 24 yards, and a minute, 6 seconds left. Later, A.J. Perez on his second straight carry, plunges in from the 1. We got a 14-7 ball game. We got an update from another game.
Yeah, Susquehanna Township got a much-needed touchdown before the half there. It's 13-7, Mannheim Central at halftime.
End-over-end kickoff fielded on the far side by Blair. Sheds a tackle. Will Blair runs into his own man, gets up across the 35, and then he's flipped up and dropped by Cole Velicki, where Hempfield starts first and 10, but in pretty good starting field position just outside their own 40.
Yeah, he's a tough dude, but that was a pretty good lick that he fell. He's throwing his body into the pile. Micah Parsons was coming down the field first, had a shot at him, but only could get an arm on him, and that allowed Blair to pick up another about 15 yards after that initial contact because nobody else could get a clean shot on him. And that's really what's missing for Blair. For the most part, on the offensive side, he's not able to get an open space like he does on the kickoff return.
Pistol for Kramer, 2 far side, 1 near side. Snap, option to Blair. Blair running right side, finds some room, gets across the 40 to the 41-yard line.
And that's where they're going to have to go. Because they have to, as we said in the first half, you've got to keep them honest, going to the inside and trying to hit the middle of the line. But at the same time, your bread and butter is going to be going outside. Blair's got to get opportunities trying to get to the edge, and they'll probably attack the right side where Fleif is.
Second and 6, option to Blair, right side again. He is being pursued by Mike Betts. Good backside pressure that time. Chase Flythe also over there. That forces third down.
And you've got to recognize, too, that the speed of Parsons on the near side of the play, on the left side of the offensive line, really forces them to go the opposite way because he really shuts down any opportunity to get wide in the running game. So when they do that, the linebackers and defensive players on that side of the ball have to recognize that that's where they're going to go more often than not.
Bergwin is now lined up on David Martin near side in single coverage. I shift Betts over. Single coverage. They drop Bergwin back to safety on third and eight from the 40. Snap. Kramer looks to your side. Pass is caught by Martin. Betts and Bergwin will wrap him up and drop him at the 45, shy of the first down. And the Rams defense again comes up with another big stop early on here in the third.
Sean Rossler has to be very pleased with how his team worked the scheme on that one, where you've got Betts up there tight to the line of scrimmage. He's able to at least pressure that ball, and then Bergwin playing behind that play, double teaming over the top, but being able to come up quickly enough for support to make the stop shy of the line of gain.
David Payton back deep to receive the punt. Pritchard will kick from right to left. Low snap. Pressure coming again, and the Rams can't quite get there, but Payton will run under this one. He will let this one hit, and it's going to go out of bounds. Wise decision by Payton to let that one roll. And it stops at the 20-yard line, so the Rams will have 80 yards in front of him with 7:50 to go in the third.
I'm not going to bother telling you that he had no intention of letting that one go out of bounds. It just went away from him too quick.
That's still the right call. You can't afford to.
No, definitely not. You got to be smart here. And I'm seeing smart football now because I'm seeing beef out in that huddle. Lots of beef. And that's what they've needed to do in this game. You look across the line of scrimmage, the biggest guy on the other side is about 230 pounds max.
It's amazing how simple of a game it can be at times.
It is.
They go power again on first down. Handoff to A.J. Perez. Cuts back. It's upfield. Takes on a man. And then it's tackled at the 25-yard line.
And you've got and the thing you've got to be patient about, and that's why that touchdown is so important. Now you can be a little bit more patient in the running game. You don't have to come up. This can be a 16-17 play drive and just getting gashing the ball down the field. You don't even have to throw the football if you're able to power the ball down the throat of the opponent.
Albright in the backfield, serve near side, slot far side. Now serve in motion away from us. Give to serve. Albright with a good block serve. Trying to bounce to the outside, tries to cut up field. We're taking down shy of the 30-yard line, but he's getting closer to that first down. It's going to bring up third and short for the Rams.
Yeah, where's AJ at? Put him back in. I think this is with the personnel that they're sending out there. This is quarterback draw or quarterback sneak. Thank you. They are going to send the personnel back out. Originally, they sent out three receivers, wide receivers in the set, instead of sending the big guys back out there on third down and one.
And sent Terrell Gabriel, Josh Fitz, and A.J. Perez out there.
They got a move, though. Only 10 seconds on the play clock.
Had Manus Frank out there. I believe he's still out there as Millar will line up under center. Hand off to A.J. Perez. Perez carries the pile, and he is going to have enough, at least with the eyeball test for the Rams first down with 6:28 to go in the quarter.
It doesn't have to be pretty. I mean, this now, if you're Central Dauphin, should be an ugly physical contest the rest of the way. You need to be the team that dictates what's going on. And that third down and one, they did just that.
Would have loved to have heard the locker room chat.
I don't think it was a chat. If you think that's a chat,
I don't know if we would have been able to air that live either. On first and 10 from the 31, Millar in the shotgun, hands off. No, he fakes it. Out of the backfield, the pass caught by Gabrielson, 40, 45, and he's taken down just shy of midfield by Dyson at the 49. We'll give it to him the midfield and 50-yard line for Logan.
That's where that's effective. Now you've established the line of scrimmage. Now you have a team that's pulled up the line of scrimmage to stop it, and that allows with the play-action fake Gabrielson to sneak out in the flat. Nobody comes up to pick him up. And a 19-yard pickup puts the ball at midfield.
First and 10 at midfield for the Rams offense. Attacking the end zone to our right. Snap, handoff to Mike Wise. Mike Wise off the left side. Wise to the 40. Stiff arms a man, and he's down. Taken down at the 35-yard line by Andrew Green.
And a great block by the pulling guard, Eamon Blythe. Comes not only gets around the edge, but because of his lack of size, really, he's able to get quickly around the edge and seal the edge, swinging his butt, getting that in the hole, and that allows Wise, with that violent running style, to get down the field and pick up another first down.
Some pep in the step for the Rams in this third quarter as they have a first and 10 from the Hempfield 35-yard line. Snap, handoff, serve. Serve between the hashes. Breaks loose and Raleigh will have another first down as he gets down across the 25 to the 24.
Man, it's an easy game when you just make it as simple as possible. We bigger than you. Let's go right at them. And they are driving the ball directly at this Hempfield team. They are on their heels at this point, being forced backwards by some great surge from the offensive line and a mix of different backs keeping them fresh.
Third quarter has been all Rams as we go under 5 minutes. And we get a false start on the Hempfield side. Nate Trimble, the defensive end, jumped early.
Yeah, the only thing that does for Hempfield in a positive way is it gives them a couple more seconds to breathe. But it cost them five. Ball's now in the red zone. Boy, what a difference between a team. And it wasn't from the first series here in the third quarter. They three and outed. But the fact that they got the turnover when they did completely re-energized this team.
First and 10 now, or first and 5 rather, from the 19 of Hempfield. Millar under center will hand off. No, he fakes to A.J. Perez. He keeps, has a block, tries to truck a defender, and then Millar is going to be taken down back towards the original line of scrimmage. They're going to give him forward progress. It looks down to the 17. So it'll be a 2-yard gain and bring up third and short.
But I like that on a first down play, I like that because now what you're establishing is that every time that Perez is in the backfield, you're not necessarily going to give him the football. And maybe if everyone over-adjusts to him, maybe you break something on the outside. Wasn't there. I think he's getting the ball this time.
4 minutes to go in the third quarter. They run power again. Big A.J. Perez, the handoff, goes off the left side. And A.J. will have enough for the Rams' first down as we go under 4 minutes to play. First and 10 upcoming for the Rams.
They've got more first downs on this drive than they had in the entire first half.
And they're doing a great job of mixing in and out the personnel.
Sure.
So they're going to power, show you something different, bring Sir back in. And they go Dan Brocious in on this set. First time he's been out there tonight. Double tight again for the Rams with Reed Albright and Raleigh serving the backfield. Handoff Serb, left side. Raleigh to the outside, to the corner. Touchdown, Raleigh Serb. 13-yard touchdown run for the senior tailback. And we are a point after away from a tie ball game with 3.5 to play in the third quarter.
A gaping hole on the left side of that offensive line. Veronicus, Williams, even Sellers, the center, doing a great job. Let's give credit to the lead blockers over there, too, because the fullbacks are doing a great job kicking out. Josh Fitz was out there blocking on that play. 4 minutes and 18 seconds on that drive. Rams do it almost all on the ground, a point away from tying.
Rouse extra point is up end over end, and it is good. With 3:32 to go in the third quarter, Central Dauphin has rallied all the way back in this third quarter. They tie it up 14 apiece. This is the district semifinals on WMSS.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy with you. 3:32 to play in the quarter. Raleigh serves 13-yard touchdown run, his 18th of the year, has tied this one up at 14 apiece.
9 plays, 80 yards. 4 minutes and 18 seconds off the clock on that drive. Just one pass, the pass to Gabrielson early in that drive. But what we've seen is a complete different team for Central Dauphin here in the second half, as already in the first, 8.5 minutes, they've run just one less play than they ran the entire first half.
End over end kick fielded by Blair. It is on 5. Will Blair gets a big hole, and Will Blair is upended on a touchdown-saving tackle by Manis Frank as he was cutting back to the middle of the field. Hempfield has good starting field position with 3:26 to play in the quarter.
Well, that's the one place you're worried about Blair at this point. Is again, on that kickoff return, he's got a full head of steam coming up the field, and you've got guys who are spread out. Will Blair one-on-one is a handful for anybody to take down.
Hempfield starts first and 10 from its own 39-yard line, attacking the end zone to our left. And we'll go back to that spread formation, two receivers each way. Blair to the left of Kramer, the snap. Hand off Blair, running up the middle. He is tracked down from behind by Micah Parsons, among others. And that will bring up second down. Reed Albright also in on the stop.
I think the tough thing here, too, Eric, for Hempfield is you want to be true to yourself. The problem is when you're true to yourself, you're not being true to what the game plan was to start, which is to get the ball on the outside. But you also desperately have to find a way to stem the tide here and take some of the momentum away from Central Dauphin. I think they've got to throw the football right now out to the outside and trust the arm of Kramer more than the legs.
Under three to go in the quarter. Snap to Kramer, looks near side, throws away, passes, batted up in the air. Kramer catches it, and then it's going to get wrestled down by Chase Flythe, who was right there to apply the pressure.
In practice, that's a very, very fun thing for a quarterback to do. Hey, deflected pass, let me grab it. That almost never works in a positive way, because why is the pass batted down? Because you've got guys all around you. He catches the ball, and instead of getting the ball well up the field, they end up losing, what, 6-7 yards on that play. So actually, officially a 5-yard loss in the play. Now third down and long, not what the doctor ordered.
Third and 12 from the 37-yard line. Kramer in the shotgun again. He's got two each way. Snap. Looks. Pressure coming. Kramer unloads it downfield. Man is there, and it's knocked away by David Payton. Saad was the intended receiver, and David Payton made a nice break to knock that one down, and Hempfield will punt.
Yeah, he may have been the intended receiver. I think, really, the intended receiver. We've got a flag. I think we're going to have a sideline warning against Central Dauphin. This is not going to cost them now.
Guess you're not allowed to get excited.
You're not
anymore. The no fun police.
But you can't go where Central Dauphin did on the field. You have to stay back off the field. You can get as excited as you want to behind the line. You can't go over it. They're going to get the football back with all sorts of momentum right now.
Yep, heavy pressure again up the middle as Pritchard's spiral will sail all the way down to the 30. David Payton gets away from it, wisely gets away from it again, and Hempfield will down this one inside the 20 back at the 16-17-yard line.
Yeah, you almost question why even bother having somebody back there at that point, just because you have someone there, but they're not coming up to catch the football. As soon as that ball gets kicked away, leave. Just get out of the way. The only place you've had problems really in this game has been on the punt returns. So move. Just get out of the way of the football and go back to doing what you do.
Rams have it first and 10 from their own 16-yard line as we're tied up here at 14. 14 unanswered for Central Dauphin in this third quarter. There we go with Serb near side, nice far side. And Millar will be in the shotgun. Sends Serb in motion away from us on first down. Fakes the handoff. We'll go right up the middle. A.J. will carry up to the 20-yard line, stop there after a 4-yard gain, and he will trot back to the sideline for the play call with 1:36 to go in the quarter.
And here's the thing. With all of the plays that they're running offensively and as many guys that go both ways for the senior-laden Hempfield team, you got offensive linemen leaning on you on this side of the ball constantly. This is definitely, you'd have to expect, going to wear down this Black Knights defense. You have to continue with the plan.
Irwin far side, snap, handoff, serve, serve left side, upended as he gets across the line of scrimmage.
That's a great tackle that time as knifing in there Wyatt Miller, the leading tackler on this team at almost 8 per game. The 5'10 senior, 213-pounder just gets in, sneaks around, and is able to take out the legs of Raleigh Serb.
Under a minute to go in the third quarter now. Rams have a 3rd and 5 from their own 21.
You do not have to throw the football here. I'm not saying that you don't. I'm saying you don't have to throw the football here.
Too far side, serve near side. As Millar has Albright in the backfield. Looks, throws, far side, passes, caught for the first down. Ryan Elliott spins out of an ankle tackle, pushes forward, and gets up to the 30 for the first down.
He's been the go-to guy today. Third target of the game. Second time he's made a first down reception. The six-foot senior, 10 catches now on the season is all, but the surest hands maybe on the team.
Second and catches to Logan Gabrielson. Rams do not have anybody with more than 12 catches on the roster.
That's not true. Reed Albright has 20
that's
of them.
That's right.
But any wide receivers or tight ends or anyone like that, he's got a running back that catches passes.
Thinking more the wideouts as Wise will get the carries. He gets across the 30 up to the 34-yard line, and as the clock winds down, that will do it for the first 36 minutes. The Rams rallied down 14. They score 14 unanswered, and we go to the fourth quarter tied at 14. This is the district semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL tickets. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community.
Start the fourth quarter here at Speed Ebersole Stadium. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy with you. 14-14 Central Dauphin and Hempfield as we begin the final 12 minutes.
And what a difference. 20 plays for Central Dauphin compared to 18 in the entire first half. In that third quarter, they had 20 plays compared to just 7 for Hempfield. They continue this drive with the football here, now even in this game after a 14-point quarter.
Facing a second and 6 from the 34, they hand off to Albright. Albright trying to go off the near side, the left side. He gets tripped up there. Wyatt Miller and Tyler Reber are there for the stop for Hempfield.
He stuttered, though. He did not attack the hole. He sort of bounced to the outside.
Guys, quick update. McDevitt tacked on another touchdown. It's 28-7, but no change in the score. Cumberland Valley still leads CD East 10-7, but Central Dauphin East just got a pick there deep in CV territory.
Wow. The dream is still alive.
It sure is. Power formation for the Rams with Millar under center on 3rd and 5 from the 35. Hand off to Serb. Serb to the outside is going to be tripped up short of the first down. And that will bring up 4th down and about a yard and a half for the Rams with 11-12 to play.
He'll never do it, but the right call is to go for it here.
Now, I think with the momentum and the way your defense is playing,
he'll never do
you,
it. He'll never do it. Mack, I'm just saying.
Mack will definitely play field position. He will turn it over to his defense. Can't say that I necessarily blame him.
I know. And it's a very difficult thing to have that leap of faith, because if anything goes wrong, you've given them great field position and changed the momentum.
You're going to have to go for it on 4th and 1 in your own territory at some point. Heavy pressure as Rao gets away. A high, twisting, spiraling kick that will hit at the 25. One hop into Jackson's hands. He sheds the tackle of Zach Wise, and then Josh Fitz will get him from behind and stop him shy of the 30-yard line at the 29.
And Wise comes up hobbling a little bit, but he lost track of the ball. As the gunner, the ball actually landed behind him, took a couple hops right to the return man, and Wise never located it. So the opportunity there for the return man was not really there. Still, not great field position, and Hempfield has to do something that they haven't done this entire second half, and that's move the football.
Switch personnel in and out as Green and Dyson will come out. Kramer will be in the backfield along with Will Blair.
They've got to throw the football, Eric. It's just not there running.
First and 10 from their own 29-yard line. Snap to Kramer, rolls out to the far side. He will tuck and run, and he's going to get hit right away as A.J. Perez is there to get him in the backfield.
And I don't know that he ever really wanted to throw the football there. The entire time, it just felt like he's rolling to that side just to see if he can find a place to step up and run. That's what this team does. I think they have to get out of character if they're going to win this football game. They have to be willing to try to attack what is the weakness of this Central Dauphin Rams defense, and that is occasionally that passing defense is not as solid.
Snap to Kramer. Keeps, throws out of the backfield to Green. Little dump-off screen, and he's dropped again behind the line of scrimmage. Is Mike Bergwin, the original line of scrimmage, is Mike Bergwin steps up to make the tackle.
Let me explain, folks, how difficult that play is. You've got a fake one way for Blair, so it takes most of the defense. The quarterback runs to the outside, so you've got somebody on the pitch man. He throws it to the outside to a receiver who's standing there with a blocker in front of him, and the only defender is Bergwin, who's being blocked. Bergwin has to beat the block and get to the guy on the outside. He does both. Tremendous play by the senior.
Kramer in the shotgun will have two to your side, two far side. Blair to his right on third and 10 from the 29. Man in motion away from us is Dyson. Snap to the senior Kramer. He rolls out near side. Chase Fleiss giving chase. Kramer will throw, and the pass is almost intercepted near sideline by Mike Betts, but the Rams defense gets the stop again. Punting unit out for Hemphill with 9:02 to play.
It's a quarterback not comfortable throwing the football, especially under duress. But the play of that drive goes to Bergwin, because that was a huge play in the making, and Mike Bergwin's individual effort is able to erase that and make another three and out for this Hempfield offense.
And a lineup with Gabriel Parsons, all the speed guys up the middle as they give pressure again. Micah gets in and blocks it for the second time tonight. He picks it up, and Micah Parsons will score the touchdown. Unbelievable what he has been able to do time after time on special teams.
Eric, we've said it at the beginning of this game. There is nothing that this team for Hempfield is doing to stop him. He's lining up every single time, and they have not adjusted the entire game. He's coming from the left of the center, meaning Mike is on lining up defensively on the right of the center, shooting right through the gap. Nobody in front of him. They've got three blockers in front. Nobody willing to chip him at all. He comes scot-free in and takes the ball basically off the foot of the punter. That was waiting to happen the entire game. He's got four blocks now of kicks on the season, two of them in this game, and this one has given Central off in the lead.
Hempfield has done nothing to adjust to that pressure in this game as Rao's extra point is up and good. They've got their wall back there. We'll keep it here during the timeout. They've done nothing to adjust to that protection for the punt unit.
I think the biggest difference in this second half is the adjustments that have been made in this game have all been made on the side that was trailing going in the locker room. If you are Hempfield going into the locker room at 14-0, you have to recognize Central Dauphin's going to make a run there at home. You have got to recognize that at some point they may change what they do. They may change how they play. You have to have plan B, plan C, something ready. And the other thing is, in the first half, you already saw them block a punt. What are you doing not having some sort of adjustment there to try to chip Micah Parsons? Nobody touched him. I mean, this was worse than the first time that they gave up the block, because this time no one even considered getting in his way. And because of that, Hempfield finds themselves behind.
Got to bring this up because it happened earlier this week. A couple of Hempfield players starting the hashtag Micah Parsons who. I'm pretty sure they know who he is.
They know
now.
Who he is now. Don't poke the bear, guys.
End of run kick fielded by one of the up men for Hempfield. And he is going to get swarmed and dropped on the return that time. It is Jonah McCoy for the Black Knights. And we'll start first and 10 deep in their own territory with 8:47 to go.
Man, is Frank one of the first guys down the field to get that one. I see a lot of pain potentially in the offing for anybody carrying the ball at this point for Hempfield, because there is just so much emotion right now, and now they have to go to plan B, because Will Blair running the ball between the tackles is not how this team is going to get back in this game now that all of a sudden they found themselves behind.
Shotgun for Kramer, pistol for Kramer, rather. He will fake the handoff. They throw that little screen pass to Green again on the far side, and Andrew Green's going to get across the 35 and up towards the 40 and just to the 40-yard line for an 8-yard gain. That'll bring up second and short.
I mean, it potentially is a bigger gainer. But again, Bergwin actually played that pretty well. Even though it's an 8-yard gain, he played that one pretty well, and they're actually going to say he was out of bounds shy of that. So only 6 yards on the pickup as Bergwin was able to, again, shed the block, get to the outside, force Green out.
37 to play. Kramer in the pistol has trips near side. Receiver far side. They run option far side. Kramer gets spun around and dropped as he gets to the 40-yard line. Reed Albright along with Chase Fleiss in there for the stop.
Running option short side of the field, too. And when they do that, Albright is the guy who's able to really force that back to the inside where he's got support. Great job that time holding them shy of the first down.
Kramer looks to the sideline to Ron Zimer, the head coach.
I think this is a must convert here. You've got to pick this one up if you're Hempfield, because if you don't, I think you almost have to go for it at that point, and that's even dangerous because you've got a ton of momentum the other way.
Something to stop the bleeding here. This has been all central dolphin in the second half. Low snap to Kramer. He keeps on the option. They throw that little flip screen again, and it's a first down over on the far side. It's Green again, and Bergwin along with Betts on the stop.
Now, here's a fun little twist on that as they do pick up their initial first down of the second half, and that is 21 points into the half for Central Dauphin. Technically, they can throw that ball behind the line of scrimmage. If they get it to Jackson, who's a backup quarterback, you could potentially hit somebody on a go route, on a post pattern on the opposite side. Just throwing that out there as a possibility. I don't even know if they have the playbook.
First and 10 from their own 43. Option, Kramer keeps. Kramer up the middle, shy midfield, taken down at the 48-yard line, tripped up like that time again by Cole Velicki in the middle.
It's amazing, though, what one first down can do to settle some nerves for a team. And we're seeing that now with Hempfield, where all of a sudden they seem a little bit more poised out there after that initial first down. I think now they have to find a way to get the ball to Blair in space, and that might be a dump out to the outside on a little screen or flare at.
And in motion towards us is Green. Fake. Kramer rolls. Little flip screen again. Green near side. Has blocking downfield. Cuts back. Gets into Rams territory. Then is gang tackled near sideline by Mitch Nice and Mike Betts. But another first down for Hempfield.
It wasn't working on Bergwin's side for good gains. So you come back the other way and see what happens. And Peyton ends up getting caught in the wash. Gets blocked off the play. And nobody else was able to come and recover inside from the linebacker position to get out there quick enough to stop another first down.
Clock winds under 7 minutes. Keep in mind, again, Hempfield has been in overtime the last two seasons, including last year. Triple overtime here in the loss to CD East as Blair gets the carry between the hashes across the 40 to the 39 of the Rams with 6:30 to play.
What they've effectively made this, though, is four down territory, because now being in Central Dauphin territory, as long as they don't take a deep sack, you would have to expect, with the limited time left and their inability to stop the Central Dauphin offense now here in the second half, they have to seriously consider going for.
Snap to Kramer. No option again. Kramer keeps off the left side. Sam Kramer cuts back midfield and is taken down on a touchdown saving tackle by Velicki. Big first down for Hempfield with 6:06 to play.
AJ Perez was out of the game at defensive tackle. They immediately exploited it by going right at the place where he vacates. They fake to the right with Blair, come back to the left. Very good seal block on the backside of that play. 21 yards on the carry.
First and 10 from the CD 18. Hempfield responding here as the little screen to the near side. Jackson stutter steps around Peyton, and then Micah Parsons comes up from behind to clean him up. Deep inside the 10-yard line, they're going to mark him out of bounds at the 7.
That should be another first down, though, for Hempfield. That play has been extremely effective, and one that I think we're going to see a few more times. You need a little bit more push from the ends, either linebackers or defensive ends getting up the field.
First and goal from the 7. Throw to the far side. Over and all alone running towards the corner and into the end zone for the touchdown is Darnell Lathan. 7-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, and it's a play that works perfectly there, Eric, because what did they end up doing? It's a play that Central Dauphin does not get a chance to adjust to, so they just kept going back to it and back to it and back to it, and it's a play that they're very comfortable with, and obviously the Rams could not figure out how to defense it.
Cosmella's extra point out of the Tyler Jackson hold. 5:30 to play. All-important extra point. Snap, pressure, and Cosmello's end-over-end kick is up, and it is good. Our new score with 5:30 to play here from Landis Field. We are tied once again at 21 apiece after Hemphill responds with a touchdown drive. This is the district semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL ticket. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community.
Here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, and Steve Leedy. 5.5 minutes to play in this District 3 Quad A semifinal. We're tied at 21 apiece. After Hemphill responds, Sam Kramer, a 7-yard touchdown pass to Darnell Lathan. Lathan's, by the way, his first touch of the night for Hemphill.
9 plays, 68 yards, and just like their second touchdown drive, exactly 3 minutes and 13 seconds off the clock. We've got a new ball game once again at 21 apiece, but it's the Rams who will get the possession here after the Black Knight kickoff.
Smella gets his foot into this one, and it sails to one of the up men. And Adam Thornton has the return for the Rams as he will get up towards the 40-yard line. So the Rams have good starting field position here with all three timeouts left knotted up at 21.
Pick up Dave from Chapman Field. CD East has taken the lead 14-10 over Cumberland Valley. But CV with a long kickoff return, so they're in CD East territory.
I don't care. That's crazy how East is playing right now. Good for them.
Nobody has more momentum right now in the tournament than they do after that win last week.
Oh, yeah.
Figure maybe emotional letdown. That's not the case tonight. CD has it first and 10, own 38. Handoff serve. Following the block of Albright. Cuts back. Tries to get upfield. Trips as Wyatt Miller gives chase, and Serb will be taken down right near the original line of scrimmage.
But wide is not the answer. I mean, we've seen the speed of this Hempfield defense is the problem. So when you spread the field out, even with a tremendous pancake block from Reed Albright leading the way that time, Serb still had nowhere to cut up. You have to gash directly between the tackles on this team. That's where the openings are.
Keep in mind, Hanson Rao, 38-yard field goal, his longest of the season. Hand off to Albright, right up the gut, up across the 40 to the 42. That'll bring up third down and about six.
Well, and it's a huge play, and we've said all night where the Rams running the football, but at what point is A.J. Millar going to have to make a play with his arm? This might be that time.
Third down and six from their own 42-yard line. It'll be Roman Dickey, far side. Slot far side is Raleigh Sir. He comes in motion towards us. Snap, fake, Millar rolls out. Has protection, throws off his back foot. The pass is almost intercepted. Threw into double coverage trying to find one of his receivers, a tight end, Gabrielson, and it was thrown into double coverage and incomplete. We have an injured Hemphill player on the field.
The personnel was wrong, though. I mean, no offense. You're running a play where the other team is not anticipating at any point that being a running play from you, and you've got run personnel in the game. Hemphill wasn't fooled. And not only that, when AJ's rolling to his right, the entire time he's rolling backwards, backwards, backwards. So he ends up throwing the ball off his back foot directly into coverage.
David Martin is the injured Hemphill player, and they can ill afford to lose him. He's up, walking off the field. Missed some time earlier this year with a shoulder injury. And he looks okay. It looks like he took a blow maybe to the arm or the abdomen area.
Steve, update?
Yeah, the other games, McDevitt up 28-7. Manheim Central got a long touchdown pass in the third quarter. They're up 20-7, but Susquehanna Township is threatening right now. Berks Catholic leading Wyomissing now 28-6 in the AA championship game.
How about the winner of that game getting either Southern Columbia or Montoursville? Last time I saw, that game was tied at 29.
29 at halftime, yep.
That'll be fun.
Hanson Rouse punt. Again, it's not his best effort. It's going to be fielded by Jackson, and Wise is there right away to throw him down. for no return with 4:01 to play.
Well, I hate to say it, but this is where Coach Glenn McNamee many times, we swear this is where he'd rather be right now, is with his defense on the field, not his offense. And he's got that opportunity. The problem is, can they adjust on the fly almost for what Hempfield just did well in the last series? And if they do adjust to it, does that open things up for Blair up the middle? Very important series coming up.
Spread formation, man in motion away from us, Green. They show that same look. They will throw it to Green. Backwards pass, and Green's got a lot of room to work with, and he's up across the 35 and stopped there on the big gain on first down.
And the problem is the linebackers continue to run past everything. They have got to flash and bounce. They can't just fly towards everything because that's not working right now.
Kramer with Blair to his right has a second and two. Snap, fake. Kramer rolls out near side. Micah Parsons from the back will drag him down for the loss.
Not a loss of a lot, though. And you can almost guarantee, Eric, the play that we've seen the last couple times, we're going to see again. Hempfield has not been shy about learning that, hey, they haven't defensed this. We are going to keep running it. I would be shocked right now if they run anything here on third down and three, but that quarterback roll and dump it to the outside and see if the Rams can adjust to it.
Third and three from the 34-yard line. Two near side, two far side. Blair in the backfield. Kramer, customary position. He will keep, go right up the middle, and Clay Tinkham got pressure and pushed him back and stopped him short of the first down.
That's a mistake. It's just a big mistake. What's the one place on this Central Dauphin team you've not been able to really run all night long? Up the gut. They give Central Dauphin the opportunity up the gut. Guess what? The punt team's going to come on the field. That's not what Hempfield wants right now.
Now, there is a timeout on the field. It was called by the Rams, so CD will have two remaining. We'll keep it here during the timeout. 2:36 to go. Quick game reset. 21-21. CD ripped off 21 straight points in the second half. Hempfield responded just a couple minutes ago with a nice touchdown drive to make it 21-all. This has been a tremendous game.
Oh, a tremendous game. And now, number 90 becomes a factor again. He was on that second down play, and that forced the third down decision for Hempfield where they didn't get the play that they should have been running there. And now, Parsons up the middle, have they adjusted to that is going to be the question.
Hempfield has not shown any adjustment at all to the pressure Central Dauphin has sent all night long. They worked on this extensively yesterday in practice, at just noting that those three protectors do not give any push up the field to try to stop any rush. They'll load up the middle again. It's a wobbly snap. Parsons comes up the middle and just could not get there. David Payton running underneath it will fair catch the punt, and CD will take over. 2:29 to play, tied at 21.
You know what's scary? He got no jump at all. There was no rush from anybody else, and he still almost got home.
Guys, update from Chapman Field. Cumberland Valley has scored. They missed the extra point. So it is 16-14, Cumberland Valley with 3:16 left to play. Susquehanna Township did score. They are trailing 20-14 down at Mannheim Central. McDevitt tacked on another touchdown. They're going to win. They're up 35-7.
Sean Orlando might be the guy for CD Eastover in that other game as Rams have first and 10 from their own 33. Served the handoff through the pile. And across the 35, up to the 36 on a quick 3-yard gain, brings up second and 7.
If nothing else, you're making sure you're the last team to touch the ball here. So, serve up the middle. The smart football. And I know that some of the fans right now are probably sitting there going, why aren't they hurrying? Why aren't they moving faster? Because you don't want to give the ball to the other team if you don't pick up a first down here.
Yep.
Then you worry about it.
Hanson Rouse long again, 38. They run power. Serb goes up the middle again, trying to bounce to the outside, and Raleigh can't keep his footing and is tripped up as he gets up to the 40-yard line. That does bring up a manageable third down and short.
Third down and short, and I think the other thing here too, Eric, is Perez comes back in the game. I think we're going to get an A.J. blast. But still, the closeness of this does not allow Hempfield to call timeout here to try to preserve clock.
Third down and short. Perez gets the carry. A.J. Perez, the first down across the 45.
And now you can pick up the pace a little bit, and you have a very good field goal kicker of your own. So it's not like you have to get all the way to the end zone.
Nope, need to get to about the 20, 25-yard line would be about his range. Long of 38 this year. Rao is 4 of 5 on the season. First and 10 from just outside midfield. Serb, the handoff. Serb tried to go right, cut back to the middle. Tyler Reber is there for the stop. And Glenn McNamee will burn a timeout with 1:13 to go. We'll keep it right here.
And the reason that you call the timeout there is because now you have to determine if you're going to change your strategy. Are you going to try to change what you're doing offensively? And I think they probably are going to have to change it a little bit here. I don't think they can just at this point run the ball straight between the tackles at this point, although I'm not going to say that Millar on a quarterback draw of some sort would not be a great idea at this point with a team probably on the other sideline expecting pass. But at this point, you have to think a little bit differently if you're Central Dauphin. If you are going to throw the football, though, the guy who's throwing the football has to make good decisions. The last one he threw was not a good decision. He's got to make sure that when he's going to throw the football, he's throwing to space. He's throwing to somebody who has broken open. You cannot throw into coverage, and you cannot be baited by a very fast defense. On the season, Central Dauphin, plus 16 in the turnover battle. They've got to make sure that they don't give one up here.
1:13 to go. Second down and 8 for the Rams. They got Micah Parsons in. They will fake the reverse to Parsons. Reed Albright is tripped up. We got a flag over on the far side. We might have a face mask on Hemphill.
Well, it really looked like there should be either a face mask or a hold, one or the other, because somebody, Tyler Reber, reached out and grabbed the hold of the face mask of Raleigh Serb as he went around the edge, the only way that he was going to make the play, and that's a personal foul face mask.
That's a costly penalty for Hemphill.
It's a very costly penalty, but it's the only... Reber was being blocked by Albright, was engaged, and the only thing he could do is stick his hand out and grab whatever he could, and he did, and he grabs the face mask. It stops the clock, gives a first down at the 40-yard line of Hemphill. They're about 20 yards away from giving this a good go from a field goal opportunity.
And we'll have under a minute when the play is snapped as Serb barking out some instructions. He comes in motion towards us now from the far side. Hand off to Serb. Right between the hashes. Raleigh trying to dance to the outside. Probably should have tried to stay towards the middle of the field there as Glenn McNamee and CD will call another timeout here with 51 seconds to play.
And I believe, do they have...
They should only have one left.
Okay. Because originally, after the last one, they had two showing initially. But apparently they had not reset that. So they still have one remaining, which allows them to have one more chance to stop the clock, presumably on a field goal.
They do change it, so that is the last time out for CD like we thought.
Yeah, I was thinking that they had two to start this drive. They have none left. And now that changes how you work this.
Now you have to get a big plan and clock it, essentially.
But you know what? 51 seconds is a lot more time than what people think.
Plenty of time.
You don't have to just assume here that this has to be a throw. I honestly think you can run the football one more time here for sure, see if you can pick up the first down, and then see what happens on getting up to the line on a third down call.
Last overtime game for the Rams, the season opener a season ago down at Manheim Township. Remember that game where they rallied from 14-point deficits twice? Micah Parsons, big on special teams in that game. First time we got a chance to see him in varsity action. As Rams have it second and 7 from the 37. Handoff. Now they fake it to Perez. Millar will keep. A.J. will get stood up by Knaus and spins into the arms of Reber and is taken down just shy of the 30-yard line.
They got
to
get to the line quickly here, and I think this is a short yardage play where you get to the line, hand it to A.J. Perez, pick up the first down, and stop the clock.
They go quick. A lot of time coming off the clock here as they have the power set in there. They go A.J. Perez, hurdles the line, will have the first down. A.J. down to the 25-yard line.
And now
with 23 seconds,
it.
They can clock it if they hustle. Moves the stick, so it'll stop the clock momentarily as Millar will get under center and spike the football. Gets set, and the junior will spike it with 21.1 seconds to play.
I'm going to tell you what I would do here, Eric, and I don't know that it's the right thing or the wrong thing, but if you're trusting Hanson Rao, which I'm assuming you are at this point, I am running the football with A.J. Perez, pounding it right where I want to set up a field goal opportunity, and then clocking it, getting up to the line quickly. You have to do this intelligently here if you're Central Dauphin. Or Serb, either one, but you run the football, you get the ball forward.
Going to have Aubrey as your lead blocker. They go double tight again. Serb in the backfield. Millar in the shotgun. First and 10. Should be second and 10. Millar's going to throw it deep down the field. And the pass is incomplete. Very dangerous throw by A.J. Millar for Micah Parsons. Andrew Green had the coverage for Hemphill and almost the interception.
No offense. That made no sense. None. So apparently they weren't just going to settle for the field goal. And now here's the problem. You've got a third down play. I don't know that they're in his range.
They need to correct the scoreboard, too, because they spiked it on first down. They have second down showing over there. This is third down for the Rams. So now you have to. You cannot spike it after this play.
You've got to pick up a first down here if you're doing anything.
Snap. Millar looks to throw. Heavy pressure. AJ's going to get dragged down by Will Blair. And we are going to go to overtime.
Complete mistake. Amazing.
Rams cost himself an opportunity to try to win this game in, and they spike it on fourth down. That's a turnover on downs with a tenth of a second to go. Why would A.J. Millar just inexplicably spike it on fourth down with a tenth of a second to play?
Let me help you with this. They completely bungled the clock management there. The reason they bungled the clock management was because they called the two early timeouts in that drive, put themselves behind the eight ball, but the second down play, or the third down play, was the problem. When you throw the ball long like that, when they did to Micah Parsons to try to catch the team off guard, that completely throws away anything you could do. You had an opportunity to run the football, put yourself into field goal position to try to take a chance to win the game. They didn't do that, and now we're going to probably go to overtime.
Mitch Nice playing center field. They don't drop anybody else back. Bergwin and Payton are playing way off, but Kramer is just going to take a knee, and we are headed to overtime here at Landis Field. Second year in a row, Hemphill will be in an overtime playoff game here at Landis Field. The Rams have not been in an overtime game, as we mentioned, since last season. We'll step aside for a timeout. When we come back, overtime, 21 apiece, District 3 semifinals. You're listening to the CD Hemphill game here on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed. Strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
Back here at Landis Field, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser, Steve Leedy, District 3 Quad A semifinal. Hempfield and Central Dauphin tied at 21 apiece. We will go to overtime here for the right to go to Hershey Park Stadium and the District 3 championship game next Saturday night. Remember, overtime at the high school level, 10-yard line. So we're going to have it from the 10-yard line, and we'll see who's going to get first crack at it here.
All important, too, because most teams want to play defense first, and the reason being they want to know what they have to do. I don't know that either defense is going to be able to stop the opposing offense from 10 yards out. That being said, I mean, that the thing we haven't seen from Hempfield on their last possession was the play we're expecting to see, that little throw to the outside. And from Central Dauphin, I don't know that Hempfield can stop them on three straight plays right up the gut if they power the football. But you have to actually call those plays. The play calling, to me, was inexplicable there at the end of the game. And all of a sudden, you get the ball in what would have probably I think they were still probably a good 5 yards out of Hanson Rowe's comfortable field goal range.
You still let him kick it at that point from the 35.
You do. But the problem is...
25,
I think. But the problem is at that point, Eric, also, the play call doesn't allow anything positive to happen on the next down. There was no foresight after that first play of what could happen next. And that's the problem with it. Either they get the touchdown there, or you are basically behind the eight ball. And they were behind the eight ball because it was an incompletion.
This is the other issue that I see down there on the sideline right now. All the momentum they had in the second half over the 24 minutes between the third and fourth quarter, and a chance there to run the clock out and maybe win the game in regulation, and now you just see a almost deflated CD sideline after that, and now it's 10 yards. It's 10 yards separate you from winning this game. It's as simple as that. Can you stop Hempfield within 10 yards? Can you score to beat them from 10 yards out and get out of here and go to Hershey Park?
Obviously, that is the question mark at this point. You had the chance, though, in your own opportunity, and Central Dauphin will go on defense first. So they've got a chance. This is the unit that the Rams are comfortable with out there.
Quick interjection, guys. 16-14, still CV with the lead. 30 seconds left. East is at the Cumberland Valley 17-yard line.
I bet, and the difference is, I bet they get a chance to kick the field
goal. Well, they will, and it's well within Sean Orlando range. That's right around he's got a long this season of 38, so East trying to hold up their end of the deal. CD's trying to survive here in overtime as it will take place at the end zone to our left. So you understand Landis Field, it is to the end zone towards the middle school.
And the question here is, at what point does Hempfield run that pass where they throw the ball to the outside? And I don't think they wait for it. I think they, on first down, they run this thing and see if Central Dauphin is adjusted to it.
Coming up after the game, whatever it is, we'll talk to Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McAmey in the postgame show. But right now we got overtime. First possession for either team. Hempfield has it. First and 10 from the 10. Snap. They will run that pattern right now. It's Jackson over on the far side, and he's dragged down right away by David Payton, who's played a phenomenal game tonight.
Yeah, and a weak block on that side by Saad, who did not really get into that block and allowed Payton to play him and sink to the inside. This puts them behind the eight ball now, and that's exactly what Central Dauphin needed on first down.
And you hope, maybe for CD's sake, that it takes that play out of the repertoire, too. Been burned by it a bunch of times in the second half. Two each way. Second down for Hempfield. Snap to Kramer. He looks, throws. The pass is incomplete and almost intercepted.
Is that Mitch Nice? Great break on the ball by the safety. Outstanding job by Mitch Nice reading that slant pattern, which they've wanted to go to all game. Threw it once before, and it was incomplete. This time, Nice almost got the pick.
Third down upcoming for Hempfield. Remember, Cosmello, the kicker, 4 of 8 on field goals this season.
He is erratic in that area, and if they don't gain a yard here, they're going to have to go with him.
Third down for Hempfield. Third down from the 10-yard line. We're in overtime first possession for either side. Tied at 21. Snap to Kramer. Rolls out to the far side. Backside pressure coming. Kramer turns the corner, and he jogs out of bounds over on the far sideline inside the 10.
And this is a tough field goal attempt because it's on the right hash. He's going to have to turn the ball in, and there's a lot of pressure on it. Can't ask for any better job defensively. The one thing you have to be intelligent about here, you cannot rough the kicker here. You've gotten exactly what you wanted.
Going to bring out for the field goal block. Michael Payton is out there. Phil Petrina is out there. Of course, you got all the big names up right at the line of scrimmage. Cosmella from 27 out to try to give Hempfield the lead. Kick is away. It is up, and it is good. Tough kick. 24-21. Hempfield in front as CD will get its crack here. Chance to either win it or tie it and send it to a second overtime.
If this ball does not go straight up the middle, 1, 2, or 3 straight times, I will be very disappointed in Central Dauphin not learning what their advantage is in this game. This is exactly what you've wanted now. This is your offensive line, a chance to pound the ball at a weakened and probably very tired Hempfield defense.
Speaking of field goals, 21-yard field goal attempt to win it for CD East. Cumberland Valley burned a timeout.
We'll keep you updated on that one.
First and 10 for the Rams now. Attacking the end zone to our left. It'll be power set. Millar under center. You got Gabriel, Albright, and Perez in the backfield. Hand off to A.J. A.J. Perez up the middle. A.J. Perez to the end zone. And Central Dauphin to the district final for the second year in a row. The Rams win it 27-24.
That's power football, kids. And A.J. Perez, his second touchdown of the game, rumbles into the end zone. The Rams learned their lesson. And they run the ball up the gut to win the football game.
We will step aside for a timeout. When we come back, the postgame show will have live reaction from down on the field with Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. We'll try to round up A.J. Perez, talk about that game-winning touchdown as the Rams go to the district final for the second year in a row. They defeat Hempfield in overtime tonight, 27-24. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL tickets. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Welcome back to Landis Field. Brian Kaiser along with Steve Liddy up here in the press box. Eric Thomas down on the field as Central Dauphin down 14-0 at halftime. Listless. No energy at all in the first half offensively. And then all of a sudden in the second half they come out and do exactly what they needed to do. Took advantage of an early Hempfield turnover, got a short field, and all of a sudden figured out that we're supposed to play some power football. They slammed the ball directly down the throat of the Hempfield Black Knights defense, scored 21 points to take a 21-14 lead, including, after two touchdown drives, a block punt return for a touchdown by Micah Parsons to take a lead 21-14. Hempfield, though, would not give in. They would drive down the field, tie the score on a touchdown pass. The Rams would have one more chance before the end of regulation, got all the way down close to what we thought was field goal range, but didn't exactly manage the clock overly well at the end of the game, and we went to overtime. Hempfield would be stopped on three straight plays. They kick a field goal, and then Central Dauphin against a tired Hempfield defense. Give it to 285-pound A.J. Perez, and he would not be denied. Thumping between the tackles, running through tackles and dragging players into the end zone for his second touchdown run of the game. And the Rams, the number one seed, advance 27-24 in overtime over a very game Hempfield Black Knight squad. And Steve Leedy, we have the update from the other game, and we know who the opponent is going to be.
Yep, it is going to be Cumberland Valley, as CD East had a 21-yard field goal attempt to win the game, and it got blocked, and it got returned for a touchdown on top of that. So 23-14 is the final score there, Cumberland Valley over CD East. So it's CD and CV. I don't know how many times that has happened in the history of District 3 championship football game.
We'll ask Eric, because I'm sure he's got that written somewhere.
Probably.
But regardless, it is the one blemish on the schedule this season for Central Dauphin, and I know that they would really relish the opportunity to get a chance to avenge that one loss, and they will get that chance next Saturday night at Hershey Park Stadium. Eric is down there on the field right now. We'll be talking to him in just a minute. We'll see if we can get over, and Eric is trying to fight a bunch of guys right now to get information. He's got A.J. Perez right now. Let's go down to Eric.
He's with the D-line, Coach.
Go ahead, Eric.
All right, Brian, we're down here with defensive tackle A.J. Perez, getting a couple of congratulations here. We'll let him say hi to a few people. All right, AJ, we're live here. Tell us about the game when he touched on. You guys found a lot of success running the football up the middle in the second half. It really didn't seem like it was much of a surprise you got the call there in overtime.
Hey, we came out flat, and we all knew we got the momentum going into after halftime. We had to get it rolling there, and we got a chance going to overtime. And our O-line came out a little sluggish, but then our whole offense picked it up, and we all wanted this win because we all heard. A shot to be at Hershey again, and a shot at Cumberland Valley.
You're down 14-0 at halftime. What was the mood like in the locker room? If you can repeat any of it, what did the coaches tell you guys to get you guys fired up to come back out for the second half?
It was very quiet, and they had confidence in us. We came out sluggish, and that's where we can't do on our part. We got to come out fighting first quarter throughout the whole game.
They called your number several times in the second half. You have a lot of momentum when you run the football, and you also pick up a bunch of big first downs there. Can you talk about getting the call there and the coaches trusting you to carry the ball and pick up those big first downs?
Coach Mack, me and him, we got a lot of trust in each other. In the offensive line, we have a lot of trust in the whole offense, and we just wanted to win really bad.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. That's A.J. Perez. Guys, we'll send it back up to you, and we'll get Coach Glenn Mack to me here in a moment.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's the jubilant post-game continues for the Rams as they're going to make an appearance in the championship game. Let's go right back down to Eric.
All right, Brian, we're down here with Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. Coach, let's step on over here. We'll talk to you now. A lot of enthusiasm down here on the field. Coach Carmo is also joining us here. Let's talk quickly about the first half, because you're down 14-0 at halftime. Biggest deficit you faced all year. Haven't trailed at halftime at all this year. I don't think I've trailed since the Wilson game last year in the district final. What are you telling the guys at halftime to kind of get them up off the floor?
Well, you know, I credit Hempfield. They had a very good game plan, and they were really excited for tonight's game. Well coached. But, you know, we made some mistakes in that first half, a little bit uncharacteristic of CD football, and we told the kids, we just got to clean that up, play our brand of football, don't hit the panic button, and things are going to work out well.
Simplified the game plan, it seemed like, in the second half. You went with more power sets. Obviously, you let the big guy, A.J. Perez, carry the ball. He just spoke of the trust that you two have had. You've been up and down together over the last 4 or 5 years, but talk about what he has meant to this team this season and trusting him late in the game to get that job done, and then especially in overtime.
I'm really proud of him. He's had quite a journey, like so many of our kids. And it's particularly gratifying to see that happen. And we have so many kids tonight when you watch that film, those individual efforts, individual plays that maybe aren't even noticed yet. That's how you win games like this one.
Coach Carmel, we'll bring you in here because you obviously coached D-backs. The importance of your guys in the second half, too. David Payton made, another key play. Mitch Nice jumping the route there in overtime on the big play there to basically force them into having to go for it. The field goal on fourth down. Can you just talk about the player D-backs tonight, what they were able to do in the second half and really step up and take away some of that long passing? And they hurt you a couple times on the short routes, but your DBs played pretty well when they needed to.
Well, you said it right. We had some adversity there in the first half. We talked about doing what we do on defense, not changing anything. They were attacking the edge on us with the zone bubble over and over again, and our guys had to fight off the block on the outside to get up there and make plays. And we knew they were going to do it, and we just had to endure. But the boys really stepped up tonight and played well on the edge.
You guys were 4 seconds away from being perfect going to this district final, and the team that put that blemish on the mark is going to be opposite you next Saturday night at Hershey Park Stadium. To not only just get back there and get a crack at a district championship, but to get the bad taste out of your mouth from that Cumberland Valley game, what's that mean for this program?
Well, hey, it's Cumberland Valley. We've talked about this all the time. You know, it's two communities that have a long history. Wherever the game is, whenever the game is, it's a really big deal. It just so happens to be at Hershey Park Stadium for the District 3 title.
All right, Coach, congratulations on getting there. Coach Carmo, congratulations to you. Brian and Steve, we'll send it back up to you.
Thank you, Eric. And, you know, obviously, a relief. Steven, anytime you're a number one seed, there always is a little bit of extra pressure. And in addition to that, you know, you come out and, I mean, basically lay the egg that the Rams did in the first half. And all of a sudden, there's a lot more pressure. And this team endured that, and maybe this ends up being the springboard this team needs, because I don't think anyone would confuse the type of football the Rams have played over the last, I would even say, the last half of the season as being maybe district championship, but definitely not state championship contender material. How much could this sort of a game maybe springboard this Rams team?
I don't know how much it'll springboard you on a state championship type run. This is just the kind of team that you don't want to run into. If you're if your team's from somewhere else and this CD team wins the District 3 championship, I don't know if you're, you know, McDowell State College or one of the Whipple teams. This is not a team that you want to play, because Central Dauphin is very good in the offensive line, defensive front. It's going to be a smash mouth type of game. So the big thing for CD tonight was they got down 14-0, a couple mistakes in the first half. They didn't really change who they were in the second half of this game, and that's what led them to come back there in that third quarter. The things that they tried to do in the first half, they may have gotten out of character a little bit, but the things that they want to do, they did in the third quarter of this game, and they pulled back even, eventually went ahead and got it into overtime, and then could it have ended on a better statement play by this CD team here? Just Perez, 10 yards right up the middle on the first play on their drive in overtime to seal the deal. It's just a shame for Central Dauphin that they won't get to play CD East next week, but it's Cumberland Valley, and you, of course, would want to see your sister school be there, but with Cumberland Valley, a long history between CD and Cumberland Valley, it should be an entertaining game, just like it was the first time with Cumberland Valley winning it on a last second field goal.
And of course, Eric, as usual, as we figured he would, he has all of the notes here. Playoff meetings before, 1998 title game, Cumberland Valley a 14-10 win in that one. 1999, they played again, Cumberland Valley a 39-16 win. 2009 quarterfinal, Cumberland Valley by a score that is haunting of earlier this year, 24-21. And the 2010 semifinals, Cumberland Valley 28-7. So what we're basically saying here is the Rams are due. 0-4 right now in those matchups coming in. Let's quickly take a look at the scoreboard of the games that are going on right now. And we already have the Cumberland Valley game, 22-14. Cumberland Valley beats East, so we know that's the championship game. Steve, the other games in AAA.
Yeah, Bishop McDevitt finished with Solanco. 35-7 was the final score there. McDevitt
and Mike Jones in that one. Huge game for McDevitt.
Yeah, over 200.
And four touchdown runs. So the one thing I wasn't really sure that McDevitt was going to be able to do, they were able to do tonight. They ran the football and actually pounded the ball against a team that usually is able to grind other teams out.
So McDevitt, their opponent will either be Manheim Central or Susquehanna Township. Right now, Susquehanna Township has the lead in that game, 21-20. That is in the fourth quarter. Manheim Central has the football at their own 47-yard line right now. Not sure how much time is left in that one, but
they had a goal line stand at the one-yard line, though, that keeps that game where it is. So still very much in doubt, the winner of that game.
Other things that were not in doubt were the AA and single-A championships. Berks Catholic gets their revenge tonight. 34-6 was the final score in that one. Berks Catholic set a district record with a 99-yard touchdown pass in that one. That was the final touchdown in the game.
Well, in that game, too, if you talk to the people from Berks County, I know that a lot of them were very surprised with the result of the first game between those two teams and not near as surprised by this one. They thought that Berks Catholic were definitely the cream of the crop there and were surprised why Missing beat them the first time they played.
And the single-A game, that was earlier this afternoon. No surprise there. Camp Hill beats York Catholic 40-28, and Camp Hill probably go on to play Bishop Guilfoyle next week, and that would be a tough game for the Lions.
Yeah, very tough game. But the other thing about that game too, 40-28, that game was 40-7 at one point. So it's not like that was ever really a game, even when York Catholic was scoring at the end to make it cosmetic. Last check, they're still scoring points up in District 4. Montoursville and Southern Columbia, each of them have hung half a hundred on the board. So it's 50-50 right now in that one. Carnes City, what a season the Gremlins are having. Not just in football, but in a lot of different sports right now, making runs. They're up. They won 21-17 over Bedford to be the sacrificial lamb at, I believe, AAA in when they'll play the Whipfield champion next week. Saucon Valley beat Scranton Prep tonight, 42-20. There's some other games going on where we have partial scores. North Penn up on the Chamonix, 28-7. Upper Dublin leads Pensbury 21-14 in Quad A ball. Big games tomorrow, though. We've got Simon Gratz at LaSalle in District 12. You've got McDowell and State College at Clarion. That game is at 1 o'clock tomorrow. You've got the Quad A championship out in at Heinz Field. That will be a 2 o'clock start time for Pittsburgh Central Catholic and Penn Trafford. The second game of four out there on championship weekend out in the WPIAL. So a lot of big games going on, and you know, the big one as far as we're concerned, though, is the final here as Central Dauphin survives a 27-24 overtime win. We're going to step out one final break. When we come back, a final wrap on this one and a quick preview of the championship game that will be played next Saturday at 6 o'clock. Again, Central Dauphin victorious. Back with the final wrap after this here on WMSS.
Explosive Sports Performance exists to help you enhance and improve the greatest machine known to man, the human body. Explosive Sports Performance helps our clients of all ages understand the importance of how the body works, how to improve it, and how to transform it into the most dominant force on the planet. Let us teach you what you can do to help enhance your body each and every day. Contact Dave Brixius at 571-1262 or 571-4776. Explosive Sports Performance. Speed, strength, power, and endurance. Online at exsp.biz.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Colonial Lounge, going strong in its seventh decade. You can book your holiday parties now online at colonialloungebar.com, or you can reach them at 545-0322. Delicious food and drinks in a casual, down-to-earth atmosphere. Don't miss a game. The Colonial Lounge has the NFL tickets. Celebrate after the CD game at the Colonial Lounge. The Colonial Lounge, 580 North Mountain Road, is a proud supporter of the CD Rams football community. Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Welcome back here in the postgame show. Brian Kaiser along with Steve Leedy. Eric Thomas has rejoined us in the broadcast booth here at Speed Ebersole Stadium, where Central Dauphin gets to the championship game of District 3 Quad A with a 27-24 overtime victory. Steve Leedy has your statistical wrap-up.
All right, first for Hempfield rushing the football. Blair, or Will Blair, 17, 83 yards, one touchdown. Sam Kramer, the quarterback, 14 carries, 37 yards, one touchdown. Andrew Green, 5 carries for 29 yards. Tyler Jackson, 1 for 11. Receiving, David Martin, 3 for 15. Ben Saad, 2 for 10. Tyler Jackson, 2 for 7. Will Blair, 1 for 7. Sam Kramer, the quarterback, actually caught one pass for minus 5 yards. And Ronell Lathan, 1 for 7, and that went for a touchdown. Sam Kramer, 10 for 17 passing for just 41 yards and a touchdown. Team totals for Hempfield, 37 carries, 160 yards on the ground, 41 through the air, 201 yards of total offense for Hempfield in this game. Central Dauphin, leading rusher, Raleigh Serb, 16 carries, 82 yards, and a score. A.J. Perez, 8 carries, 42 yards, and 2 touchdowns, including the game clincher in overtime. A.J. Millar, 6 keepers for 34, Mike Wise, 4 for 23, Reed Albright, 3 for 5. Receiving, Ryan Elliott, 2 for 19, Logan Gabrielson, 1 for 19, Bergwin, 1 for 4, Albright, 1 for 1, A.J. Millar, 5 of 12 for 43 yards. Team totals for Central Dauphin, rushing 37 for 186, 43 through the air. They lost 31 yards on 4 Hempfield sacks, so 198 yards of total offense for CD tonight. So pretty even on the stat sheet, 201 to 198 as far as yards go. But it is CD that wins by 3 here in overtime, 27-24.
And the other thing you have to look at, too, in this game, second half for the Rams compared to the first half. First half, 9 carries for 47 yards. Second half, 28 carries for 139 yards. Not a tremendous yards per carry average, but still, that just bleeds a defense. And you saw the effects of it on the last play of the game, because A.J. Perez threw a weakened and tired Hempfield defense, just absolutely blast through them, and there's nobody who was going to deny him that one. Let's recap the scoring in this one. Hempfield got on the board first after Mitch Nice muffed the punt deep in Central Dauphin territory. Will Blair on the very next play busts in from 2 yards out, making it 7-0 Hempfield with 4:32 left to go in the first quarter. Play would sort of be very defensive at that point for the rest of the first half, but Central Dauphin blocks a punt and ends up muffing the return of the block punt, as Terrell Gabriel could not control it. It was recovered by Hempfield, so a potential chance for Central Dauphin goes awry. Will Blair has a couple of big carries on the drive to get them all the way down the field, and on 3rd and 3, Sam Kramer, the quarterback draw from 3 yards out, scores it. The Kismela kick makes it 14-0. That was with about 5 minutes left to go in the first half. We were at 14-0, Rams looking in all sorts of hurt at the end of the first half, but Central Dauphin just exploded in the second half. Went 3 and out on their first drive, but on the very first play from scrimmage, after a great Hanson Rowell punt pinned Hempfield in their own territory, they fumbled the football on the very next play. Rams recover with Reed Albright, and then 4 plays later, A.J. Perez caps off the drive from 1 yard out. The Rao extra point made it 14-7 in favor of Hempfield with 9:51 left to go in the third. Rams get the ball back after another 3 and out. Have a nice, long, prolonged drive. 9 plays, 80 yards, marching down the field, 8 runs, 1 pass. Raleigh Serb caps it off with a 13-yard touchdown run that tied the game at 14 with 3:32 left to go in the third quarter. Both teams would hold sway a little bit, but Hempfield still could not get anything going offensively, forced to punt their own end. But all game long, they had problems keeping Michael Parsons from the punter. He had blocked one partially earlier, and then with 8:55 left to go in the fourth quarter, he got the full ball this time. Goes shooting right up the middle, takes the ball right off the punter's foot, grabs the ball himself, and from 12 yards out, rumbles into the end zone for the block punt return for touchdown. The Hanson Rowell extra point made it 21-14 Rams. Looked like all the momentum were with Central Dauphin, but all of a sudden, that zone bubble pass that Hempfield was able to run effectively in the ensuing drive gets them all the way down the field, and they end up throwing it for a touchdown at the very end. Darnell Lathan, a 7-yard touchdown reception from Kramer. The extra point with 5:30 left to go in the fourth tied the game at 21 apiece. Rams would have one more crack at it after each team punted once. Rams would get the ball back, drive down the field, get down to the 25-yard line. Then with 20 seconds left to go on second down, no timeouts left, they try to throw a fade pattern to Michael Parsons in the left corner of the end zone. The ball was underthrown, almost intercepted, but it left them no time to do anything. And then on third down, A.J. Millar was sacked, and that basically took up all but 0.1 of the rest of the clock. So Hempfield took it into overtime by kneeling on the ball, and we went to overtime. Hempfield would get 2 yards on their first three plays. Credit also on that drive, on that situation. David Payton, a tremendous play on the zone bubble on first down. Mitch Nice breaks on the ball and almost picks it off. And then a full defensive effort of great coverage down the field, forcing the quarterback to go out of bounds instead. And Kramer could only pick up a couple. They do settle for the field goal from Chris Kuzmela from 25 yards out in overtime, and that gave Hempfield the 24-21 lead. But you knew at that point, not getting in the end zone was the handwriting on the wall. And the guy who broke the wall down after that was A.J. Perez on the very first play from scrimmage offensively for the Rams. A 10-yard touchdown run runs the Rams all the way into the championship game, 27-24 in overtime. And I mean, no offense to the game earlier this year between Cumberland Valley and Central Dauphin, but this was the best game that we've seen this year from this Rams team, Eric.
No, there's absolutely no question about that. I think, you know, we didn't really get a lot of adversity the whole season. I think that we saw a shred of it maybe at State College when State College kind of started to fight back in the second half. We definitely saw it against Cumberland Valley in the last 5-6 minutes of that game, but all out, all game long, backs against the wall, have to rally. We haven't seen it at all. We haven't really seen it since last season when they were here against Wilson or here against Manheim Town or down there against Manheim Township to open the season. So I think a good thing for them that they got that out of their system in this game. I don't think they're going to have to do much coaching to motivate these kids for next Friday night. I mean, they were Saturday night. They were 4 seconds away from being undefeated going to that game, and the one team that made sure that 4 seconds counted was Cumberland Valley.
And what did Cumberland Valley do well in that game looking back to that one?
Through the football.
Yeah, they ran the football all right. But what they did was they took advantage of one thing that Central Dauphin was not doing, and that was they were not covering very well in the secondary. And I think that we saw here tonight, at least on passes down the field, which is what Cumberland Valley was successful in that game, on passes down the field, they have maybe fixed that part of what they weren't doing well defensively from earlier in the season, but the true test is going to be next week.
I really think that we're going to see a more simple. I don't think Cumberland Valley is going to try to throw on them as much next week. I don't think that they can with the ease that they did in that first game. I think the CD secondary is playing better. I think David Payton's especially playing better.
Yes.
And I really think that they needed that one guy to just kind of take the secondary by the horn, so to speak, and just say, we need to play better, and we have to start playing better now. And it's been David Payton since the playoffs started. You think about what they did against Carlisle in the opening round. One of the worst games that Eric Harris has had yardage-wise all season long was that game. What they did to Tommy Clock and lowered offense passing attack last week. Yeah, they gave up big plays, and yeah, they gave up third downs. And yeah, they gave up 10 catches to Evan Morrow, but really, they neutralized that passing game when they had to. They came up with big, you know, plays defensively when they had to. I don't think Cumberland Valley tries to throw the ball next week. I think that's man-on-man, run the football, whichever defense breaks in the end is the one that's you know, the team that's going to win is the one that runs the ball physically next.
Let's remember one other thing about that first game. There were some key personnel for Central Dauphin not available in that first game due to injuries and other things.
He's back.
I believe Central Dauphin's in a little bit better situation than they were then, especially injury-wise, where this team may be as healthy as they've been for a while.
And you think about what they went through that week. They played very good football for the first half. And remember the second half when they started with the kickoff return against Cumberland Valley. So for all the stuff they went through that week leading up to that game with Micah and all the off-field stuff and everything, they kind of pushed that aside for the first, you know, 30 minutes and change, and then just couldn't hang on to a simple passing attack, a simple rushing attack, and a great kicker. And I think that they're in a better place now. I think they needed a challenge. I think they needed to get over the hurdle. And, I go back to Paul Lynn told me last Friday night after the game against Lower Dauphin, if we play Cumberland Valley, we have to do nothing to get those kids motivated. They've been wanting a second crack at them since that game ended, and they got it. And I just told you guys off air, I think the funny thing about that matchup, those games that they met in the playoffs over the course of the years, Central Dauphin has won every one of those regular season matchups in those seasons. And then Cumberland Valley got revenge in the playoffs, and now the script's a little bit flipped this year.
And we'll see what happens next week. Let's just say that I think that this Hempfield game maybe is the type of game that this team needed to really find themselves and their identity again for what they do well. And they dug down deep. They faced adversity for maybe the first real time, other than maybe the Cumberland Valley team, but this is the first time they've been able to overcome that adversity on the football field and get a victory. Steve, quick update. We got a final.
All right, yeah. All the games now final. We'll just run over the whole scoreboard. Single A, Camp Hill beat York Catholic 40-28. Camp Hill is your District 3 single A champion. Double A champion is Berks Catholic. They beat Wyomissing 34-6. Triple A, McDevitt 35, Solanco 7, no problem there. And they will play Susquehanna Township, who holds on against Manheim Central. 21-20 is the final score. Manheim Central had a 38-yard field goal attempt with about 2 minutes left in that one, but it was wide, and the Indians hold on. And in Quad A, the other game, Central Dauphin East trailed 16-14 and had a last second field goal attempt from 21 yards out, but it was blocked by Cumberland Valley and returned for a touchdown. The final score is 22-14. And hey, all those Mid-Penn co-champions that you got,
Mid-Penn and Berks,
all the Mid-Penn co-champions you got, settle it on the field next week.
That's interesting. And hey, then that means we can also root for State College not only to win tomorrow, but the week after that, so we can really finish it off, because that's what we truly need to figure out. We have a three-way tie for the Commonwealth Championship. Why don't we just determine on the field? So State College, here, we're calling you out right now. Beat McDowell tomorrow, then beat the Whipfield team the following week, and then we can find out who the true Mid-Penn Commonwealth Champion is. And when you figure that out on the field, then the winner gets to play in the state championship game.
Yeah,
that's how it should be done.
We ask Glenn McNamee a lot of times about the play in the Commonwealth. Think about this. Out of all the teams that are left in Quad A, you have Cumberland Valley, you have Central Dauphin, you had CD East tonight, and you have State College. All those teams still left. So three teams from the same. And obviously because they split with State College going out to District 6, no other division can say that. Obviously,
sure,
the Whipfield's got two left till tomorrow, but that tells you, I think, how good the play is every year.
And you've got the Keystone representing with Susquehanna Township and McDevitt. You've got Camp Hill. You've got Berks Catholic, the lone non-Mid-Penn team left. York team's done. Lancaster Leavenworth team's done.
Yep. All Mid-Penn final.
Yep.
First time since 2013, Lower Dauphin and Cumberland Valley in that final that year.
So enjoy that with us next week, because we will have that game for you. That will be next Saturday, 6:00 is the kickoff for that one. So we will be on the air maybe a little bit earlier, maybe about 5:40 for that contest, as it'll be a championship contest between Central Dauphin, the number one seed, and Cumberland Valley, the number six seed, for the District 3 Quad A Championship. Reminder that coming up tomorrow, Harrisburg Heat Soccer, 2:05 is the kickoff, as they take on the Baltimore Blast from the Farm Show Arena. So make sure you join John Wilsbach for that contest. We'd like to thank everybody involved with tonight's broadcast, especially our studio producer, Owen Haderer back there doing a great job back in our studio keeping us on the air. For Steve Leedy, for Eric Thomas, this is Brian Kaiser saying goodnight from Speed Ebersole Stadium here at Landis Field, where Central Dolphins survives 27-24 over Hempfield in overtime. They advance to the district championship game next Saturday. You heard it here on WMSS.
You've been listening to Central Dolphin Football on WMSS. Today's game was brought to you in part by Explosive Sports Performance, by Ricker Construction, the Colonial Lounge, and by St. Thomas Roasters. Your home for the best in high school sports is WMSS and WMSSFM.com.